It's the Football Friday Preview. Sports talk about the Pisgah Black Bears, the region, the conference, and more. With Chad Upton, voice of the Bears, and Chuck Biebernetz, sports editor for the Mountaineer newspaper. Brought to you all season long exclusively by the Black Bear Cafe. The Black Bears' favorite at 162 Pisgah Drive in Canton.
Live from Pisgah Memorial Stadium in Canton, North Carolina. Tonight, it's round one of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association playoffs as the Pisgah Black Bears host the Hickory Tornadoes. I want to say Red Devils. Hickory Tornadoes in town tonight. Round one of the state playoffs. Everything shook out very similar, I think, to the way that we thought it might. When we were trying to look ahead at brackets and so forth, things happened in a way that we sort of expected them to after that big win last week against Brevard. But there certainly has been news and a lot of things going on both around this game tonight and, of course, all around. You got some really big news earlier in the evening with regard to Smoky Mountain, and that plays and has an effect on this football team.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's it's sad news coming out of Silva is that they found a football player who had an eligibility issue that forced them to forfeit their football games. What had happened was the player in question, and we do not know his name, had got a basketball physical in October of last year, and that physical ran out in this October.
Right.
He was playing on the football team, and so he played the last second. So they will not have to, I believe they do not have to forfeit all their games, but because they forfeit
beyond that date.
Our game, which gives us a 9-1 record for the playoffs, doesn't change our seeding. The state, the principal notified the state, I believe it was either late yesterday or this morning, and the state called Forest Hills and said, do not go to Smoky Mountain. Smoky Mountain has forfeited the game and are
ineligible for the playoffs.
They're ineligible for the playoffs.
Have you ever seen anything like this at this stage? I mean, when I first heard that, I guess it was probably 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon, first thing that went through my mind is, even if you could, you couldn't really go back in and talk about reshuffling and reseeding teams. People are literally on their way to where they're going to play right now. So there's really little that could have been done at that point other than canceling that game and giving Smoky Mountain's opponent that forfeit.
Strangely enough, I've heard about this before a couple times in the East when I was coaching in the East, in the Down East area, that teams, they found they had an ineligible player and had to forfeit their whole entire season and were knocked out of the playoffs. So, and it wasn't a malicious intent.
Sure.
It was just that the young man had an invalid or an expired physical, and he needed to get another physical, and he played, and he didn't do it, and so they had to forfeit and be knocked out. And I've seen them where they've used ineligible players for various reasons in the whole season and had to strip all their games that they won.
That's unbelievable. That was the end result, but it is what it is. But certainly there's a lot going on around this football team and this game tonight as Pisgah will take on Hickory High School. Hickory High School comes in 6-5 in there. Overall standings or overall mark with the endowment game against 6-5. They were able to drop a loss, so really 6-4 in terms of playoff seeding and playoff purposes. 4-3 in their conference. The winner of that conference, that's the Northwest Conference 3A, Morganton Freedom, who is a very good football team, ranked very high in the state polls. 10-1, High Brighton 10-1 as well, 6-1. Their only loss to Freedom, I believe. Watauga County at 3A was 8-3. Patton, a team again that we see in their playoff bracket as well, shifted a little bit down for some time. We thought that might be an opponent for us tonight. Still could be as we head down the line. South Caldwell, St. Stephens, and Fred T. Ford also in that conference. So when we look at the games tonight affecting the Northwest Conference, again, Hickory here tonight. Hickory is the number 13 seed against Pisgah, the number 4 seed. Patton is the number 12 seed. High Brighton is the number 5 seed. Those two teams are teams that are familiar with each other. They had already seen each other during a regular season, I believe, as well, coming from the same conference. The Black Bears will play the winner of those two teams if they can win this game here tonight. Other teams in that from that division, of course, we talked about number 1 Freedom against number 16 East Rowan tonight. The 15 seed of South Caldwell against Greensboro Dudley, and number 6 seed Watauga in the 4A portion of that conference is also in the playoffs, again the number 6 seed. So you're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams out of that conference with only, what, seven or eight teams, I believe, six of them qualified for the playoffs, and you're talking about several of them being really, really good football teams, certainly. So it's a tough conference. We've got our work cut out for us, and we'll talk more about Hickory as we go. But certainly just looking at that statistic, there's a lot of things that we've got to take care of tonight.
In all my years and loving this high school football game on Friday nights and when it comes playoff time, this may be the best 13 seed I've ever seen.
Right.
Because when you strip down the losses, three of their losses have come to teams that are finished the season at 10-1. Two of them are number one seeds in the various, you know, they lost to Mooresville, number one seed in 4A in a non-conference game. They lost to High Brighton and Morganton Freedom from their conference. And then, you know, they, strangely enough, they lost to South Caldwell, which got in as a 15 seed, but, you know, at home after they had stubbed their toe against Morganton Freedom. But here's the thing. They also lost by 2 points to South Ardell. We know South Ardell and what they did to us last year in the second round, the defending 2A state champion. They have a 47-12 combined win-loss record of the teams that they lost to, and the worst team was South Caldwell, that is 5-6 overall. This is the best 13th seed, and they're a 13th seed. Holy smoke.
Yeah, absolutely.
We better be ready for tonight's game.
No doubt about it. Again, going back through and looking at their mark, Hickory played Statesville the first game of the year back in August. It was a win over Statesville, Hickory, a win over Newton Conover, a program that's been up and down. Hickory took care of Patton easily back in September, 47-10 score. Wins over St. Stephens, Fred T. Ford as well, and over Watauga County there in Boone. High Brighton was a winner just a week ago over Hickory by 2 points, excuse me. High Brighton, we know, is a very good team. High Brighton, 10-1 overall. So you're absolutely right. We've got a lot to think about and have to take care of tonight. Hickory is a very good football team. They put a lot of points on the board, 354 points overall in the year, averaging 32.2 a game. They're giving up, though, 241 for 21.9 points per game as well. So hopefully the Pisgah offense can take advantage of what might be a bit of a porous defense for the Tornadoes tonight.
Yeah, and that's what Coach Chappell's banking on. He's going to bank on the fact that his passing game is, you know, and they may try to dink and dunk it and see how they're going to play their passing attack. I don't believe, looking at who Hickory has played, that they've seen a prolific passing attack like Pisgah has. You know, we just haven't run the football, so we are going to be one-dimensional. And if we are going to be one-dimensional against this football team with athletes all over the place, we must be very good on that offensive side.
There's no doubt about it. Got a lot to think about and a lot to take care of, and we'll get into more of that as we go through the show here this evening. A lot of information to pass along, and we'll get started back with it in just a moment. This is WPTO Radio, the voice of the Black Bear.
Saturdays are special at the Black Bear Cafe on Pisgah Drive in Canton. That's when we serve up the best tasting fresh hand-cut ribeye and New York strip steaks around. You can enjoy a steak, your choice of potato, salad, and bread for only $11.95, or choose a half-pound Black Bear burger and fries for only $6.95. We make Saturdays special at the Black Bear Cafe. Bring your friends and family for a Saturday night steak dinner at the Black Bear Cafe, Pisgah Drive in Canton. Back to the Football Friday Preview, brought to you by the Black Bear Cafe. Here's Chad and Chuck.
Chad Upton and Chuck Fevenitz here from the stadium. Tim Hodges in our studio tonight. Keep us updated with that scoreboard as we go through the evening. A lot of games to pay attention to. Again, in the 3A West, Pisgah tonight against Hickory. Hickory at 6-5, the 13 seed. Pisgah, the number 4 seed. The winner of this game tonight will play the winner of the Patton-High Brighton game. Patton and High Brighton both in the same conference. Patton is a 7-4 team, the number 12 seed. High Brighton, the number 5, at 10-1. Beyond that, and staying in the same region of the bracket, East Rowan will take on the number 1 Morganton Freedom team at 10-1. Forest View, 7-4. We'll take on number 8, Carson, at 7-4. Most likely, if Pisgah were to win tonight and win next week, there's a really good chance that the Black Bears would head down to Morganton to take on Freedom. But there's a lot that has to happen. On the other side of the bracket in the West, in terms of the 3A, West Rowan at South Point, North Gaston at Burns, that's an 11-6 and a 14-3 respectively. Piedmont goes to Tuscola tonight. Tuscola was able to find a way to get a home game in the first round of the playoffs. They're the 7 seed. They host the 10 seed in Piedmont. Piedmont 7-4 on the season. Northwest Cabarrus at 6-5, the 15 takes on number 2 Concord at 11-0. Those first two teams, the 1 and 2 seeds, are very good, very dangerous teams in this small 3A division.
Well, and that, you look through that, and this being our first year in a long time to be in the 3A West playoffs, but, you know, you look down at some of these games. Piedmont Tuscola is going to be in a sensational game. But, you know, it's in our own bracket, and that's looking up at Morganton, Patton, and High Brighton could be a an important game, and then Hickory and Pisgah. But, you know, it's the first round, and you just – people don't realize, you talk offense, you got to bring your A-plus game. Because if you come in with your A-plus defensive football game, you know, then you can keep yourself within if things are, you know, you're trying to gel offensively.
Right.
I have seen it so many times through my years of watching high school football that if your defense is not ready to play and you get behind 2 and 3 touchdowns, the surrender flag, the white flag of surrender waves up. I've seen so many teams quit before even halftime because they know they can't come back. And so you have got to bring your A-plus defensive game. You got to be focused defensively and just work on your offense to get gelled and see what you do. Because this is the first time we've matched up with Hickory in a long time.
Going through the rest of the brackets with teams of interest, A.C. Reynolds is a 13 seed in the 3AA West at 7-4. They go to Sun Valley tonight on the other side, the east side of Charlotte. Central Cabarrus and Ashboro, Asheville at Cuthbertson. Asheville's the 2 seed after beating Irwin last week. Franklin is the number 1 seed in the 2AA West. They will would have potentially been able to face Smoky Mountain in the second game. They won't have to do that now. As Forest Hills High School, the number 9 seed, has won a forfeit game against Smoky Mountain. We know exactly where Forest Hills is, beating that team a few years ago there in Marshville, North Carolina. But going back up to the top in the 3AA West bracket, there's no bigger story in the mountains than Irwin dropping all the way to a number 8 seed after losing players for that incident that we talked about last week, losing the game last week to Asheville, going from potentially being the number 1 seed, maybe having the, if there is such a thing, the easiest path all the way to Raleigh, dropping all the way to an 8 seed, and now having to play a very good Ashbrook team. It's amazing to consider that Irwin's season, after what they were 2 weeks ago, could be in the situation that they are in tonight. Certainly, they've got an uphill battle.
Yes, they get to host one game, and that's against Ashbrook, but they have to do it without those 3 players. And you had mentioned also that the way the North Buncombe or the Buncombe County school system is that it's probably going to be, you know, 6 months before they even hear an appeal or anything like that. So if those players are basketball players or baseball players, there's a chance that they're, you know, they may be done, you know, or before they ever hear their appeal. So they have to go, you know, with one boot off, you know, and go into battle. And so they got to fight their way through. If they win tonight, they have, you know, more than likely they're going to travel down to Shelby Crescent. We know what Shelby Crescent's like when it comes to playoff football.
Boy, I tell you what, that's a dangerous place to go have to play football, both Crest and Shelby High School, certainly, of course. Class 2A West, this is a lower division of the 2A. Madison, the 12 seed, number 5, Polk County tonight. Hendersonville goes to Reedsville tonight. Reedsville always been a very good 2A program. Brevard made the tournament. They're the 14 seed. They go to number 3, North Wilkes. Mountain Heritage has a very tough task regardless of the record as they take on number 6, Shelby. And then Owen gets a home game. They host Mount Pleasant High School at 8-2. Mount Pleasant, the 5-6, number 10 seed in the 2A West.
When the ADM numbers came out and you looked at them and you went through it and you started, you know, in once you get through the 3A and figuring out that situation, then you start looking at the 2A and you realize what Shelby High School, the Golden Lions, did. They dropped in their ADMs and they were going to drop down to 2A. You probably had quivering and shivering amongst all those teams, and they knew who was going to draw them. And lo and behold, it's the Cougars from Mountain Heritage.
Absolutely.
You know, they get to go down and see what we've experienced playing Shelby, it seemed, in so many playoffs in the last decade.
Culture shock may very well be the name of the game in that game tonight. Swain County is the 1 seed in the 1AA West, which is the larger division of 1A. They're the 1 seed again, taking on East Wilkes. It's Avery County taking on Bessemer City, and then Mitchell County will take on number 2 Starmount. They've got to go there. Other games of interest, Rosman, the 8th seed, takes on number 1 Murphy. Andrews will play Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson is the 3 seed. Hayesville, the 7th, will take on Robbinsville, someone they're very familiar with, obviously, the number 2 seed. And then we go all the way out to the Class 4A West, and that's T.C. Robertson, the only team representative from the mountains in that particular division. They have to go to North Davidson. So we'll do our best we can to keep our eye on all those games that are going on. We'll pay particular attention as best we can to that 3A West portion. Again, keep an eye on Patton and High Brian. Certainly keep an eye on the Piedmont-Tuscola game, as there is a potential that Pisgah and Tuscola could play. It would mean a regional final game. Boy, can you imagine the fireworks around that. But there is that potential. We'll certainly keep an eye on that, as well as the Freedom East Rowan game, the Forest View Carson game. As best we can, we'll get those scores and we'll pass those along to you. When we return, we'll talk a little college football when we get you set for football here tonight between Hickory and Pisgah. Back in a moment, WPTR Radio, Voice of the Black Bears.
Saturdays are special at the Black Bear Cafe on Pisgah Drive in Canton. That's when we serve up the best tasting fresh hand-cut ribeye and New York strip steaks around. You can enjoy a steak, your choice of potato, salad, and bread for only $11.95, or choose a half-pound Black Bear burger and fries for only $6.95. We make Saturday special at the Black Bear Cafe. Bring your friends and family for a Saturday night steak dinner at the Black Bear Cafe, Pisgah Drive in Canton.
Back to the Football Friday Preview, brought to you by the Black Bear Cafe. Here's Chad and Chuck.
Not only is it nitty-gritty time for high school football teams, it's also the same story around college football in both the larger divisions. BCS standings right now, Alabama and Florida State still 1-2, looking for that national championship bid in that BCS title game. I think that's a very real possibility. Ohio State at 3, Stanford at 4, Baylor at number 5, but still some very interesting games to think about and look forward to as well. On Wednesday night, Northern Illinois, the number 15 team in the nation, beat Ball State 48-27. Last night, Clemson scored 55 points at home against Georgia Tech. 55-31 was that final score. Games on tonight, there's one of interest at 9 o'clock. Washington goes to UCLA. UCLA is the number 13 seeded team, or ranked team, in NCAA Division I football. Again, that game is at 9 o'clock on national television, of course. Alabama at Mississippi State, the number 1 team, will take on Mississippi State again. 7:45 is the kickoff tomorrow night. Stanford, number 4 at USC at 8. Georgia and Auburn hook up, 3:30 airtime. Again, a TV game that you can watch here around the area. Florida at South Carolina. South Carolina maintains that number 11 position there. 7 o'clock kickoff tomorrow. Oklahoma State at Texas. That's a 3:30 game. 2 ranked teams. Oklahoma State at number 12. Texas at number 23. And then finally in the top 25, it's of interest here. It's Miami at Duke at 3:30. So really you're getting right down to the wire. And there's a few things that might be able to shake out here in the next week or two. But it sure is pointing towards an Alabama-Florida State national championship game, at least for the moment. I know that both those teams, though, have to win a conference championship game as well.
Well, and absolutely. But what a neat thing happening in Durham, North Carolina, with the loss last night with Clemson pounding Georgia Tech. Duke controls their own destiny, and it could be the Duke Blue Devils, the new powerhouse of college football, having to go up against probably more than likely Florida State.
And if they were to win that game, they would qualify for a BCS game. Who would have ever thought that Duke would have been able to get that quickly to a BCS game? But it's right there in front of them. I mean, I know they've got a tough opponent, obviously, but there's some light at the end of the tunnel, certainly, for those folks.
Absolutely. And I'm in there rooting for the Blue Devils.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of the 4 teams that I will never root for, no matter if they're 50-point favorites, is the U. And they're, you know, they one of the 4 teams that I will never root for. And they're going into a team that I just admire so much. It's happening. Those smart guys down in Duke University having an opportunity. They're guaranteed a bowl. They're 7-2 and a guarantee a bowl and maybe a real big bowl and a big payday for their own football program. And it looks like Cutcliffe has got them believing that that's, you know, is going to be a turnaround. And lo and behold, yeah. Lo and behold, is that, you know, this could continue on, you know, as Duke becoming the powerhouse.
Absolutely.
In the ACC.
They might be able to get that stadium expansion done anyway, one way or the other. Florida State looks like they're going to be the team out of the Atlantic to represent the Atlantic Division in the ACC Championship game. And again, you pointed out, it looks like that there's a very real possibility that would be against Duke. So a game that we would sort of take a look at and look forward to. Florida State, Clemson, Syracuse, Boston College are all teams that are bowl eligible, at least at this point. Wake Forest, I believe, still has a chance for that. Maryland still has a chance to be bowl eligible. The only team really out of the Atlantic Division in the ACC that will not go to a bowl game in any likelihood would be North Carolina State. Flipping over to the Coastal Division, same things. Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Duke, Miami, maybe even North Carolina. Pittsburgh, certainly. I wouldn't think, no, there's no way Virginia could do that. But you're talking about Duke being successful right now, Chuck. And then you look at the rest of the division. Wake Forest is the only other team out of the state of North Carolina. There's four in the ACC that's bowl eligible that will even have a chance to go to a bowl game. That's a remarkable story as well. So when you go and you think about who has the best college football team right now in the state of North Carolina, I think it has to be Duke, probably East Carolina number two. North Carolina State and North Carolina certainly are not having it easy right now when trying to build their programs.
Well, and let's mention from last week's football game, Duke laid out, put a thumping on the Wolfpack from North Carolina State, and they've gotten a couple of weeks out. They've got the big matchup with North Carolina, so, and that's at UNC. So, Duke, again, what a great story for college football. And maybe, just maybe, the East Coast version of Stanford is starting to emerge in Durham, North Carolina.
There's no doubt about that. East Carolina, again, I mentioned just a moment ago, continues to lead the East Division in Conference USA. They're 7-2, 5-1 in their conference. Again, a program that's been up and down from time to time. I certainly pull for that program. I'm glad that they're doing well right now. And then we go and look at some of the other things that are going on. Michigan right now, just thinking about you at 6-3, 2-3 in their conference, but they're certainly bowl eligible, as are most teams. Michigan, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Michigan State are all eligible. Northwestern might even still have a chance to kind of sneak in there, even though they're 0-5 in the Big Ten.
Well, my smarter and better looking younger brother, Kevin, texted me and wanted to know if I was, slitting my wrist and panicking or thinking dastardly and terrible things about what has happened in Ann Arbor. And I told him, no, it is what it is. Your bulk of your running game runs off, runs in the tackles. And if you have two guards, and a center that are not very good or inexperienced and you're not able to get key blocks, you're not going to run the football, because that's the key. That's a bread and butter. If you want to run the football, you got to have a center and two guards that can really move people out and root them out. And it is what it is. They're just not a very good football team right now. The quarterback is inconsistent and has lost a lot of confidence. Defense is not being able to stop people. So, they're going to have to struggle. And they got Northwestern, who's 0-5 in the conference and 4-5 tomorrow at 3:30, and that's in Evanston, Illinois. So, Big Blue's got to do something to turn this, right this ship.
One team that we've got to mention for our broadcast partner, obviously Ohio State at 9-0. They're having a terrific season. Still outside looking in right now at number 3. But there are some other teams, and I want you to mention something about Ohio State in just a moment, about looking in. But some other teams that have undefeated marks that are not getting a lot of press coverage right now. Northern Illinois still only in the middle of the pack there. They're 10-0 after having a really good season last year. That's 2 in a row that they've played very, very good football. Fresno State, Chuck, another team at 9-0 in that Mountain West. And there's one more team that I think continues to be deserving of mention, and that's Baylor. And we talked a little bit about them last week. Another team that's having a really, really good year. But looking at that, Ohio State and Baylor both, Northern Illinois to a degree, but they play in a little bit different conference as well as Fresno State. But Ohio State and Baylor, again, still looking outside, looking in, up top at Alabama and Florida State.
Well, and I think that's going to be the way it's going to end up, because when you look in the BCS standings, Ohio State, Stanford, and Baylor are so close in point. Although 0.3 of a point higher is Ohio State at 0.8926. Stanford's at 86-89 and 86-18 is Baylor. So that's going to be a fight for 3, 4, and
right.
5 throughout the rest of the season, providing they can keep winning. Look, bottom line is that Ohio State, in order to keep that perch at the number three spot and still maybe have a shot if somebody was to upset Florida State. They're just going to have to dismantle whoever comes across to and meets them on the other side of the field. They're just going to have to dismantle them, and it looks like it's going to be Illinois next, you know, this weekend. But, you know, good gracious, you know, it's... I just still think Baylor is that team that can leapfrog because they have got some games down the road with Texas Tech and Texas on December in the first or the last game of the regular season in early December. And they just, you know, Baylor could be that team to leapfrog Ohio State. I thought it was going to happen after, you know, Thursday's games when we were here last Friday. But it didn't. Ohio State retained three, but Baylor got up to the number five spot. So that's interesting.
Absolutely it is. When we return, we'll talk a little bit of NFL and then get you set for this huge game tonight. First-round playoffs, Hickory and Pisgah. Back in a moment, WPTL, the voice of the Black Bears.
Have you got a family reunion, a wedding, a work function, or a party coming up? Well, let the folks at the Black Bear Cafe in Canton do the catering for you. Large or small, the Black Bear Cafe will take care of everything, from entrees only to a full-service served meal, all at reasonable prices, too. So sit back and relax, and let the Black Bear Cafe on Pisgah Drive in Canton do all the work for you. Call for information at 648-1003, 648-1003.
Back to the Football Friday Preview, brought to you by the Black Bear Cafe. Here's Chad and Chuck.
National Football League, as we again head down the stretch a little bit now, getting into the middle of December. Conference leaders, or division leaders, excuse me, New England at 7-2, Cincinnati at 6-4, Indianapolis at 7-3, Kansas City at 9-0. If you're to ask me, and I'm talking about the AFC, if you were to ask me, I would tell you that those four teams look like they're going to be the division winners right now. Now, going to the NFC, a little bit different story. The East Division of the NFC is a mess. Dallas and Philadelphia are the two best teams at 5-5, and to me, they're not very good football teams really right now. Detroit hangs on to that one-game edge in the North. New Orleans looks like that they're going to win the division, though Carolina certainly has a chance to do so, only a game out. Atlanta and Tampa Bay have no chance of making the playoffs. Seattle and San Francisco are two really good teams, though San Francisco has stubbed their toe a little bit. A strange loss last week in my mind to Carolina, so it's hard to make out what's going on right there. But it looks like to me, again, the class of the league is Kansas City and Seattle, but it would not shock me if someone like New England, again, found a way to win another Super Bowl. It wouldn't shock me if somebody like Indianapolis found a way to win a Super Bowl, and I think you can never, never, never count out Denver with Peyton Manning, though. He's had a few injury issues so far this year.
Yeah, with Denver 8-1 and one game back of Kansas City at 9-0. And remember, a couple of weeks ago when we were looking at this and they reached the halfway point of the season, or it was a week ago, is that the second half, the eight games, five of those eight games are going to be on the road for Kansas City, and that's always tough to go and win and stay pace, you know, one game, at least one game ahead. It just seems like Denver will not go away waiting for Kansas City to slip up. But, you know, you are so right. I was totally – it was a shocking score of Carolina beating San Francisco in San Francisco 10-9. And you mentioned about Dallas, that last week's score on Sunday night, New Orleans 49, Dallas 17. And you look at Dallas and Philadelphia at 5-5. Clearly, that is the worst conference in the NFL.
When we take a
– or division.
Exactly. We'll take a little bit of a break right here. When we return, we'll talk about that NFL slate coming up this weekend as well. WPTL Radio, the voice of the Black Bears.
Saturdays are special at the Black Bear Cafe on Pisgah Drive in Canton. That's when we serve up the best-tasting, fresh, hand-cut ribeye and New York strip steaks around. You can enjoy a steak, your choice of potato, salad, and bread for only $11.95. Or choose a half-pound Black Bear burger and fries for only $6.95. We make Saturday special at the Black Bear Cafe. Bring your friends and family for a Saturday night steak dinner at the Black Bear Cafe, Pisgah Drive in Canton.
Back to the Football Friday Preview, brought to you by the Black Bear Cafe. Here's Chad and Chuck.
Of course, another large slate of NFL football as we go into the middle part of November again as well. Last night, Indianapolis, a winner over Tennessee, 30-27. On Sunday, the Jets and Buffalo at 1, Baltimore at Chicago at 1, Cleveland at Cincinnati at 1 o'clock, Washington at Philadelphia at 1, Detroit at Pittsburgh at 1, Atlanta at Tampa at 1, Arizona at Jacksonville, Oakland at Houston, all 1 o'clock starts. late start Sunday. San Diego at Miami. San Francisco at New Orleans. Green Bay at the Giants. Minnesota at Seattle. And then Sunday night, Kansas City at Denver at 8:30. Monday, New England at Carolina. There is no better game in my mind, though, than Kansas City at Denver. We're going to find out if the Chiefs are the real deal.
They have to go again. They have to go to Denver. And that's going to be, you know, they lose and they lose the first game. They, you know, Denver comes, you know, gets into a tie in the West Division of the AFC. So, you know, I mean, clearly you're that is the marquee game in the NFL. That's going to be a heck of a football
game.
You
mark my word, I think that game might have as high ratings as any game all season long in terms of television, because people want to know if Kansas City is the real deal, because most people haven't been, they hear those scores and they see it, but they're not watching those games probably. I would dare say that there are going to be a lot of people interested in tuning in to see if Kansas City is what they are and if Peyton Manning can do what he's been doing.
And the health. That's the question
for
me,
right.
Is when you mention that is how healthy is Peyton Manning? Is he mobile enough? Peyton's smart enough that if you start blitzing and getting those and putting together and dialing up some of those exotic blitzes, Peyton can read you quick. And he's not going to sit there and run for the pocket. He'll just start dumping the ball to safety valves or throwing it away. But, you know, is how healthy. If he takes a shot, can he, you know, stand in that and stay in that football game? Because, you know, he didn't practice yesterday. He practiced today. And so, I mean, it's just a matter of how healthy is Peyton Manning for this big game that's going to roll Sunday night when the Chiefs come in at Mile High Stadium to play the Denver Broncos.
Certainly appreciate everyone listening to the Football Friday Preview Show brought to you by the Black Bear Cafe. When we come back, we'll get started with our game broadcast, break down this huge game tonight. First round playoff football, Hickory and Pisgah. That's next. WPTL Radio, the voice of the Black Bears.
You've been listening to the Football Friday Preview. Sports talk about the Pisgah Black Bears, the region, the conference, and more. With Chad Upton, voice of the Bears, and Chuck Fiebernetz, sports editor for the Mountaineer newspaper. Brought to you all season long exclusively by the Black Bear Cafe. The Black Bears' favorite at 162 Pisgah Drive in Canton.
AM 920 is WPTL Canton.
The following is a presentation of WPTL Sports.
Third and goal from the two. Black Bears knocking on the door right here. Snap. Back to pass. Looking. Floats one. Left side.
The tight end is wide open. 10, 5, and he will get in. Touchdown.
And the men in red have gone on top 6-2. Pisgah on the goal line now, and they will go for it on fourth down. Snap, straight ahead. Is he in? Yes! Touchdown, Big Black!
It's Pisgah Black Bear Football on AM 920 WPTL. Brought to you in part by Fat Buddy's Barbecue, Ken Wilson Ford, Carolina Pawn and Gun, Singleton's Automotive, Pisgah Tire Company, WNC Towing, Haywood EMC, Jukebox Junction, WNC Credit Union, Hometown Hardware, Burger King, Champion Credit Union, Patton Morgan Clark Insurance, Rogers Express Lube, Riverview Farm and Garden, Empire Automotive, Martin's Drugs, Jim Bromley Financial Services, Southeastern Sports Medicine, American Pond, Sid's on Main, and Sellers Florist. Now, here's Chad Upton and Chuck Fiebernetz.
Live from Pisgah Memorial Stadium here in Canton, North Carolina tonight. Round one of the North Carolina High School Athletic Association playoffs. 3A Division West Bracket. Hickory, the Tornadoes in town to face the Black Bears. Again, a lot to talk about as we get set for this game. Most exciting time of the year for me in terms of broadcasting and doing what we do, because you get to see teams that you don't typically see. You start having conversations out about the community, trying to guess what's going on. Message boards start lighting up, people talking back and forth. A lot to be thankful for as Pisgah got potentially two playoff games here at the stadium. And we look down in front of us now as both teams kind of getting warmed up and loose, about a half hour away from game time now, looking at the Red Tornadoes. They look like USC out there. Southern California, to be sure, with those yellow pants and those burgundy helmets and the burgundy and yellow trim on those white shirts. So looks like we're playing the Trojans out there tonight. But we've got a history with Hickory. It's been some time since we played them. I don't really remember it. My dad does a lot better job of remembering specific games like that. But there is a little bit of history between these two schools. I certainly will assure you that the folks around Hickory High School football know who we are.
Absolutely, and everybody knows. And they want to have that experience of having to travel up to Canton, North Carolina. And I've always told this story, and I'll tell it, you know, real quickly again. When I was coaching at Mount Airy High School, two coaches, one was Neil Setzer. Everybody knows Neil, who used to be at Hayesville and Smoky Mountain, now coaching in Georgia. And that was that he got telling me about a place in the mountains in Canton, North Carolina, that is the most intimidating place to take a football team in, and that they're on top of you, and the fans are vocal, and they pack it in, and, you know, they're bringing anywhere from 7,000 to 10,000 people at a game, and that was at Pisgah High School. And I think that's where I started learning to mispronounce the name Pisgah, because, you know, I heard that, and when I saw that, I was like, man, then when I got here, that was the first place. I said, can I go see Memorial Stadium in Pisgah High School to see what this place is about? And so impressed at this facility, and it's everything that you have, you know, dreamed and dreamt about, is that, when you come in here, this is a special venue to watch a high school football game, and it's more special, when you watch a playoff football game in this venue.
I think about all the memories that we've made, even together doing this, but also just in my history living in this community and thinking about these games. I remember a playoff run that we made in 1995 with game after game, it seemed like, in cold conditions here at the stadium. I also remember these trips that we've made. There's something to be said, certainly, for playing at home, and I would rather do that, but there's also something to be said for all of us getting together and going somewhere that we've never been before, and hopefully we'll get that opportunity as we get down the road some, too. But, you know, like I said, all the memories that you think about, and you bring up something I thought is really interesting. When I think about some places, that when you said that this is an intimidating place to come, and I hope that we have a pretty good crowd here tonight, though the weather is poor, with light rain and temperatures pretty cool. I hope we have a good crowd tonight, but when you think about places that are intimidating, I want to go back in my head, and I go back to the first time that we went down to Charlotte Catholic, and I remember looking at that place and not being intimidated, and telling my dad, as we pulled up, I said, Dad, we're going to win this football game tonight. And clearly, we were not favored to win that game that night, the first time we went down there, and went in there and took care of business there in Uptown Charlotte and won that game. But all the memories that you have of playoff football, and this is what this program is built around. And I think that the other thing to think about and talk about here is that you've got a head coach who has had some success in the playoffs as well.
Absolutely. Brett Chappell's this is his ninth year as a head football coach. Last week he picked up his 75th win with that 59-0 route over Bavard. He's now 75-38 overall in his two stints, well, one at East Henderson and now here at Pisgah in his first year, which is a 66.4% winning percentage. And clearly, you know, he came in and took over one of the cellar dwellers of the conference in the mountains was East Henderson, and turned that into a championship program. So, you know, again, that's misleading to see his only winning 66% of the games, when in his latter years he was winning the conference and winning, going 11-3 and going deep into the playoffs. So, you know, Brett has had a lot of success. He's 8-7 in seven seasons. This will be his eighth appearance. His 2009 East Henderson team missed the playoffs. And so in this ninth year, he's had eight teams make the playoffs, so he knows how to get here.
One of the other things, you go look at his counterpart. You provided us with some really interesting stats right here. Mike Helms, head coach over at Hickory, his first year there. You know, there's a name that I think about when I see this name and I see this resume. And you know who we're both talking about, someone that's been successful but has been in a lot of places. But he's been at East Burke. He's been at Cherryville. He's been at West Charlotte. Was a really good program some number of years ago. Northwest Cabarrus, Morganton, Freedom again tonight, a very, very good team, winning the top of their bracket. But Mike Helms has had a good career so far, not quite the winning percentages either Brett Chappell or David Presley, but he's had a good career and it's been some really big-time programs, all the way from a good 1A program all the way up to a pretty good 4A program there in West Charlotte. So I think he maybe knows where to go.
Yeah, and again, when I put this together, I was looking at his resume. That was my first thought. Oh, this guy's like on the Donnie Kiefer, you know, coaching.
We thought the same thing without even talking about it, did we?
Craig, you know, Kiefer's got about two more stops more than he has, but you know, Mike Helms, his son, is a wide receiver at Western Carolina. His son was a quarterback at Morganton Freedom. And when I look at Mike Helms, who has coached and has 109-86, he's won only 55.8% of his games. But when I look at Mike Helms, I can't help but think of that 2011 Morganton Freedom team that he had that finished the season at 10-1. In the last game of the regular season, they had a all-out brawl, and they had, like, over the limit, the North Carolina High School Athletic Association ruled that the fact that they had too many guys ejected in a bench-clearing brawl at the end of the regular season and banned them from the state playoffs.
Right.
And that was it. And he had a team that finished the season 10-1. At Morganton Freedom, so they didn't get to go to the state playoffs in 2011. Last year, you know, he had a good year at Morganton Freedom, ran to the third round, and then before losing. But you know, this is his first year at Hickory. His wife is the head basketball coach, girls basketball coach.
That's got to be an intense house.
Oh yeah, at Morganton Freedom. Mm. She coaches over at Morganton Freedom in basketball. He's moved over to Hickory to take over the Red Tornadoes. So, you know, in his first year, he's brought the Red Tornadoes back. They, you know, they had looked for a new coach after a dismal performance the last 3 years in Hickory. And so he's got them back in the playoffs. He was 4-3 in the conference and, you know, finished third. So, I mean, look, bottom line is it is what it is.
Let's mention something else I think that everybody talks about, or at least to some degree, certainly everybody thinks about. But I've at least had a perception in my head for the last 37 years of my life that once you get maybe past Old Fort, that there's a different style of high school football that's played. So you can draw that line. You know, maybe you start on the other side of Hickory there and maybe the Morganton area, and you go both north and south with that line to the borders, the Virginia and the South Carolina borders, and everything to the west is kind of a little bit different stylistically, perhaps with the exception traditionally of Asheville. And then you go on the other side of the state and things are different a little bit in terms of style and stylistic play. What is it about that makes it what it is? I mean, in terms of approach or whatever it is, it just feels like the styles are a little bit different. And I have always, you know, you've always had people believe that there may be a bit of an advantage to the East. I might would feel perhaps in some cases that the opposite may be true, particularly when those teams in the West get to play at home. I've always felt in my heart that we have a distinct advantage in terms of, you know, climate and those kinds of things that we can take advantage of this time of year when we're playing on the cold banks of the Pigeon River.
Well, your perception is a reality as far as I'm concerned, and the play stems from once you get past Old Fort and get down off the mountains and into some flat lands and you start moving east into the state, it becomes speed-oriented, whereas football up here becomes is power-oriented. And, you know, and what you see is up here is that with the introduction of the spread offense is that teams that, you know, may not have the capabilities of being power oriented can do things with the pass. You know, and they can dink and dunk and they can spread you all over the field and neutralize your speed because they can open gaps and create it and just maintain ball control throughout. And that is the difference, is that the mountains have more power-oriented football, whereas the farther you get east, it becomes more speed-oriented. And I coach, you know, and like I said, when I was at Mount Airy and then over at Tarboro, which is a football factory over there, Todd Gurley was a Tarboro kid, you know, that's at Georgia now, the running back, but then went from Tarboro to Whiteville. The speed, and here's the thing, is that there's so much speed and athletic ability, but a lot of those kids cannot even get into junior college.
Right.
So you have a better academic situation here in the mountains, but once you get farther east, you've got a ton of speed that you're going to play. So if you face a team from down east, the Piedmont or the Triad area, you're going to face some people who got some kids that can run.
Our big black sponsor tonight, Carolina Punt and Gun, as always, Fat Buddy's Ribs and Barbecue as well. Ken Wilson Ford, WNC Community Credit Union, Haywood EMC, Burger King, and Jim Bromley with Edward Jones. Back in just a moment, WPTL, the voice of the Black Bears.
How about them Black Bears? Fat Buddy's Ribs and Barbecue, proud of our team. To win in this game, it takes speed, strength, and the right game plan. For winning barbecue, it takes slow cooking, the right sauces, and attention to detail. Whether for the game, a to-go box, or to get together later on, come to Fat Buddy's Ribs and Barbecue, Waynesville Plaza, where the food's so good it'll make you squoil.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Call 648-2632 for Patton, Morgan, and Clark Insurance Agency.
Carolina! Chip. Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it. Carolina Pawn and Gun. They got guns and tools and diamond rings, guitars and electronic bass. Now if you need some cash, there ain't no doubt Uncle Sam ain't gonna bail you out. Come see the folks at Carolina Pawn and Gun. They gonna hook you up. Get on over there, son. Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it. Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Martin's Drugstore backs the Bears. They're home folks, too, with good old-fashioned friendly service. Martin's participates in most Medicare Part D drug plans. Sam Burris will be glad to assist you. In a rush? Use the drive-up window to drop off and pick up your medications later. Martin's, 24 Park Street, downtown Canton. Check the dollar wall inside at Martin's, pharmaceutical care for 100 years.
Back to Pisgah Black Bear Football here on AM 920 WPTL.
I want to say this date, December the 14th, is a benefit meal for Casey Kruk. Casey Kruk, as many of you know, head coach here at Pisgah High School, suffering some health issues that he is going to fight, and he's going to win those battles. But certainly there are costs associated with it. And there will be a lunch benefiting him December the 14th associated with CrossFit here in Haywood County. You can certainly call Pisgah High School. I'm sure they could give you more information about that, and certainly a terrific cause is that group. Both teams are on their way to Disney World here for Christmas in that tournament. So a lot of things going on around basketball, the Cagers.
Well, and an important fact, and it is very serious what Coach Kruk has got right now. He's in Houston, Texas. He's at a, you know, where they specialize in this type of cancer. And so when you start to have to travel around the country to see specialists, I'm very concerned about the future of Coach Kruk. So and again, all you have to do is put one word out to the Pisgah community.
Absolutely.
And they will rally in, like no other community will rally behind him and help him and support him. And but right now, Coach Kruk is in Houston,
yeah,
Texas.
And
our prayers are with him.
Yeah, and we're talking about him. And a lot of folks know this. When you're talking about cancer, you're talking about seeing this type of specialist, we're talking about costs that can get into six figures really quickly, regardless of whether you have insurance or not. Fortunately, he does with the state. It's not as good as it used to be, but there's still going to be a lot of costs involved, and that benefit will certainly go to help him. And you're right. We, beyond our football program and who we are, the biggest love that I have for this place is who we are in terms of the way we treat each other and other people, and I'm sure that cause will be heard throughout the Pisgah Nation.
Well, folks, and you can get a shout out to us, and what a great way is, you know, lend your support, shout out your support, by texting me at area code 828-646-0626. That's area code 828-646-0626. Your first name, your last name, and where you're listening to the ball game, and maybe, shout out to Coach Kruk. He's obviously going to be listening from Houston, Texas to this ball game, and that'll warm his heart too. So all throughout the game, just give me a text at that number, and we'll shout you out here on the air. And that's been a big success so far, you know, once we started this about 5 weeks ago.
Certainly, Casey, you have our very best from Chuck and Rhonda and Tim and me. Think a whole lot of you and what you do around this community. But a lot of people don't realize that it doesn't just stop with basketball. He also has a day job, and that's teaching. And then in the evenings, most of the time in the off season from basketball, he's around because he's the assistant or associate athletic director as well. So got a busy lifestyle and a whole lot going on. And we certainly want to wish him and his family the very best as he battles this. And I'm sure that he will come out on top and win. Because he's a winner, and that's no doubt about that. We see that all the time.
Well said.
Going out and looking again at this game tonight, going back to Hickory, where they come from, a very good conference, and that's one of the things that concerns me going into this game tonight. Freedom is the number one team in that conference. They won it 10-1 record, High Brighton at 10-1, finished second. Hickory, Watauga County at 8-3, Patton at 7-4, South Caldwell at 5-6. St. Stephens and Fred T. Ford both have struggling years, but from top to bottom, at least the top six, Chuck, is just a tremendous conference. And again, we all try to prognosticate, and we all try to get our information. And I think most people with an unbiased opinion would probably tell you that Pisgah is a bit of a favorite going into this game tonight. But there's so much unknown, and I think the biggest reason for that is because there's so many things that are uncommon. We don't have common opponents. We, you know, stylistically, there may be differences and changes and all that kind of stuff. So that's the thing that concerns me anytime in terms of the playoff season. You just don't know what you're going to get until you get out there and see it shake out.
Right.
And that goes both ways, though.
Well, and again, when you saw the pairings come out last Saturday, and you said, okay, you know, and we did for 2 weeks. We kept saying Hickory was that team that was there in and around that 13 seed, and Pisgah probably, if they got that four, would face Hickory. So we kind of knew that Hickory was going to be the opponent. But then when you started to, you know, delve into the fact that they were going to, you know, what their record and what their opponents were and how they've perform this year, you begin to immediately see the fact that their losses were to very good football teams. You know, to go and play Mooresville in the fourth week of the season and host Mooresville, which is a number one seed in 4A in the West. Mooresville beat them 35-6. But then after that, you know, they played at South Ardell.
Right.
And 14-12, they lost that football game. Then they went toe-to-toe with Morgan and Freedom at Hickory and lost that game. They lost 34-27, then came back the next week and apparently had a hangover effect after playing Morgan and Freedom, because they lost to South Caldwell 37-35 at their place, too. So then they strung three games, you know, three wins together, big win up at Watauga County on November 1st before dropping a heartbreaker at High Brighton, 35-33 in the last game of the regular season. So it's a good football team. This is a deceiving number 13 seed, folks. This is not going to be an easy game for the Black Bears.
Certainly, and there are some names that we'll want to talk about, and we'll talk about those and give you those names when we return. Only about 8 minutes away now from kickoff between Hickory and Pisgah. This is WPTR Radio, the voice of the Black Bears.
Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it, anything under the sun. Guns and tools and diamond rings, guitars and electronic things. They got just about everything at Carolina Pawn and Gun. Now, if you need some cash, there ain't no doubt Uncle Sam ain't gonna bail you out. Come see the folks at Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it. Get on over there, son.
Proud sponsors of the Pisgah Bear.
The smart way to keep your vehicle purring is regular maintenance. Make it easy. Pull in at Rogers Express Lube and Tire on Pisgah Drive. Locally owned by Buddy and Brandon Rogers. They use Valvoline, Castrol, and other brands. There's North Carolina inspection. And the Rogers sell all major brands of tires with state-of-the-art balancing and tire-changing equipment. Rogers Express Lube and Tire, 167 Pisgah Drive in Canton. They're open on Saturday, and they take credit cards. Call 648-7772.
Burger King in Canton at I-40 Exit 31 is proud to back the Pisgah Bears. Go support the team at every game you can. And when you can't, listen to WPTL.
And just remember, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose.
Aww.
Just as long as you have your Whopper after the game. Join them at Burger King and Canton, I-40, exit 31 for a Whopper. Because when you have it your way, it just tastes better.
It seems most sound financial advice starts with saving. At WNC Community Credit Union, they have several savings products to help achieve your goals. For short term, their regular share account pays one of the best dividends you'll find anywhere. Plus, they have CD and IRA products for longer term plans. They even have a Christmas club for seasonal money. Check with them at 27 Kent Lane off Eagles Nest Road, Waynesville. Insured by the NCUA.
Let's get back to the game with Chad Upton and Chuck Fiebernetz on WPTL.
Of course, tonight, Tim will keep an eye on the out-of-town scoreboard, both in terms of the games around the mountains, opponents that we've seen over the course of the year. We'll also keep an eye on that 3A West bracket, too, as best we can, and give you perhaps a picture, at least some ideas of what may happen down the road if Pisgah can get by this Hickory team tonight. And certainly tomorrow morning I will have that information for you as well. Certainly players to be thinking about as we go into the night's game. First of all, for Hickory, that's led and started offensively by Jahiz Linebarger. 1,334 yards, 24 touchdowns on the season. And really, he's their go-to guy offensively, to be sure.
Yeah, they run out of the – they're a downhill running team. They'll use a tight end. They'll stick that tight end's hand in the ground. They'll run two wide receivers. Usually, they'll either run pro set or twin set, but they're going to run out of an I formation, and they're going to attack a lot out of ISO. We see – and it's almost with the Southern Cal uniforms. They run the ball just like Southern Cal, the same formations,
right,
with a fullback.
Right.
Lead ISO, sort of like the old Florida State teams with Bobby Bowden. The major bread and butter play was the ISO at B gaps and C gaps, and they'll come at you, play action passes. Their quarterback, Jaquan Crawford, is only a sophomore, has completed 52.3% of his passes, 1,233 yards in 11 games, 6 touchdowns, but has thrown 5 picks. So, you know, obviously they're going to hang their hat on the rushing game.
Certainly you got to think about how the crowd might play into this tonight. Hickory has brought just a few hundred folks, a very small crowd for them, maybe not even more than about 150 or so over there. And we've got a sparse crowd, too, and that's one of the things that I considered today when I was watching the weather. A cool evening, a light rain has been falling for a good portion of the afternoon and evening, so we trust that most of you, if not all of you, certainly that are listening to the broadcast, but a lot more fans maybe than normal, are listening to the game here on WPTL, WPTLradio.net, and, of course, with your TuneIn Radio application on your smart device. TuneIn Radio, download that application, then search for WPTL, and you can listen to our broadcast and 24 hours a day broadcasting out from WPTL as well. So I want to welcome all of our listeners from both the region and here around town over the airwaves and, of course, all over the world, in fact, listening to our broadcast as well. I know there are a lot of folks in the armed forces. We certainly appreciate what you do and everything else for us in America, and hope that we give you a little bit of taste at home listening to the game. Of course, all of our guys over at the mill listening tonight, as they've done for so many years.
Our captains are the injured guys, Cody Mashburn and Dustin Messer, for the second week in a row. And what had happened was is that Hickory got the call, called heads, and it was tails. And Messer elected for the Pisgah Black Bears to defer to the second half, so Hickory will get the football to start the game.
And Pisgah has had a history of liking to defer to the second half, and it, to me, I think it's a good call because you always have something to build on. If you're ahead, you get to say we can get some more points out there when we get back out there. If you're not, then you can say at least we get the football back. So I always like that call, and I think it's the right move for us.
Steve Brown pushing chips at Evergreen. Go Bears is what he says.
Steve, thanks for listening to us tonight. I hope a lot of guys over there are doing the same thing. I'm sure they are, as they always do. Again, you can dial Chuck, text him at 828-646-0626. We'd love to let you know where you are and who you are, and we certainly appreciate all of the listeners here on WPTL tonight. We've tried, you know, some new things as we've gone through the year, particularly in the last 4 or 5 years, to improve the quality of our broadcast. We want you to get all of your football information from us on Friday night, and we hope that we're doing that for you.
Well, the rain has stopped for about the last 45 minutes. And an important note is about 5 to 5:30, the Hickory team got here early and did a walkthrough and sort of get used to. They've never played on artificial turf.
I think that's a big deal. I really do.
And they were out in the rain and... So, you know, they were trying to get acclimated to this artificial turf because they have played all on natural surfaces.
When we talk about Pisgah, something that we want to talk about, and we mentioned this last week, two things. First of all, Coach Chapel got his 75th win last week against Brevard. We also brought up 15 junior varsity players to up our numbers, and Coach didn't want to necessarily bring up the entire group because he wanted to make sure that it was a balance and it made sense, but you certainly have a few more options, if nothing else, as we go down the road. And some of those players at the JV level had very good seasons and I think could certainly contribute as we go down this playoff road towards Raleigh.
Well, Jahiz Linebarger, which you had mentioned about his exploits as far as running the ball from the tailback spot, is... You know, as worried Coach Chapel, but he also is a returner. And Coach Chapel says, if we kick to him, it's not because we wanted to. I've ordered our guys to kick away from him. Even if he'll accept a ball out of bounds, he's not going to kick to this man at all. As far as punts or kickoffs, he's going to go away from him all he can. He says, I do not want to get six on these kickoffs and in space. He's that dangerous. He said, we've got enough to contend when they've got the football lining up against our defense to contend and box him in.
Speaking of Coach Chapel, don't forget to join Coach Chapel and I tomorrow morning for the Brett Chapel Show live from the Jukebox Junction Cafe and Soda Shop there in Bethel, North Carolina. It's brought to you by Carolina Pawn and Gun, Hometown Hardware, plus Linen and Uniform Service, Haywood Insurance Service, and Southeastern Sports Medicine. You can listen live. You can listen on the web at WPTRadio.net. Tune in radio application on your smart device, so you can come down and join us tomorrow morning as well. We always have a good large table full of folks as Pisgah set to kick off, and here it is. It'll bound at the 25-yard line to be picked up at about the 18-yard line. They'll try to return it out to the 30-yard line. He's got a little bit of a seam and cuts it back in. It'll go down at the 37-yard line, and that's where the Tornadoes will start their first drive of the night. The Tornadoes tonight, white shirts, yellow pants, burgundy helmets, with burgundy and yellow trim on those. The Black Bears tonight, as you might expect, black shirts, black pants, red numerals, red trim, black helmets with a red Power P.
Bamatide is listening to this game, listening in with crazy Penn State fans around a campfire in Woolwine, Virginia, explaining the virtues of Bama football at a hunting camp.
High-stress lifestyle. Two receivers to the right side, one to the left side, first for the Tornadoes. They pitch, and Pisgah tries to hem that up in the middle. They give up 1, 2, 3, 4 yards, up to about 8 yards after he breaks through to the 45-yard line. It'll be second and two now from the Hickory 45-yard line as the Tornadoes drive towards the north end zone in front of us.
Well, that was just a toss sweep to the short side, and I can see what has concerned Coach Chapel. Linebarger is a fine running back, great moves and great speed. He just eluded three would-be tacklers for Pisgah.
Two receivers right, one to the left, one setback. They'll go under center here on second and two. Straight hand to their man, and he'll get the first down by about a yard. It'll be a 3-yard pickup, and a flag comes in late, and we'll check that caller. Big Black sponsor, Carolina Pawn and Gun, also by Rogers Express Loop, Jukebox Junction, Champion Credit Union, WNC Towing, Hometown Hardware, Patton Morgan and Clark Insurance, and SIDS on Main, and that foul will go against the Black Bears. It's a personal foul call. Again, that flag came in late, so that certainly doesn't help the situation here, is that mark would have been inside Hickory territory still at about the 48-yard line. This will move the football inside Pisgah territory to the 37-yard line or so. It'll be first down and 10 for the Tornadoes. They'll go with two receivers out to the left side, one slot there, one wide to the right. And now a whistle and an official timeout on the far sideline as they've got those chains wadded up, it looks like, over there.
Tangled up right now, but that play that threw, got a flag thrown. It was a lot of good sticking in by the Pisgah defense. So they're going to try and keep pounding on that body.
First down and 10. Play action. He'll roll to the right side, tries to find some running room, and he does. Out to the 28-yard line and gets a first down. It was just a naked bootleg, Chuck. And he'll go for a first down, an 11-yard gain now to the 28-yard line.
Right away in these first initial plays of the game, there's a clear difference between the speed of Hickory and the lack of speed out of Pisgah. Colton Shuler had the quarterback right there in his radar. I mean, he had him locked in, and the kid just made a move and got around him.
27-yard line is the spot. The Tornadoes have yet to throw the football tonight. Two receivers left, one to the right, aided by a penalty against Pisgah as well for 15 yards. He'll go under center with one setback. That's Linebarger, number six. He gets the give and hemmed up. Breaks out of one tackle, but can't break out of two. Only picks up maybe a yard or so. It'll be second and long coming up for the Tornadoes.
Six Black Bears had a shot at him at the point of attack and a simple handoff zone read to the short side. And, you know, this kid just feet are moving, and he's moving laterally and shifting. I tell you what, we've not seen a back like this all season long.
10, 18, and counting here in the first quarter. Hickory football at the Pisgah 26-yard line, second and 8.5 or so. Two receivers right, one to the left. They'll go under center again. Play action, rolls to the right, wants to look downfield and try to throw it. He's going to run for it, slips out of one tackle, a lot of running room in front of him, 20, 15-yard line, 10-yard line, and out of bounds at the 6-yard line. A busted play goes for a first down, and Hickory is inside the hometown hardware red zone.
Well, the young quarterback for the Hickory Red Tornadoes, Jaquan Crawford, got bottled up, and then our defensive lineman, where there were three around him, and the kid just, again, made a move. And this is going to be an issue all week long. This is what, if they can handle our passing game, it's going to be a long night for Pisgah because there's a difference in speed.
First and goal from the six. Two receivers left side, one to the right side. And that wasn't a situation where we did really anything wrong. Again, you're right. We had him hemmed up and then let it go. Here's a snap. They'll give straight ahead in the middle of the field. Not a lot there, maybe a yard. It'll be second goal now from the 5. Tougher to score inside right here. We'll see how it plays out for us defensively.
Well, Holty Underwood and Kyle Terrell were in on the play. Made a nice move. Ricky Brantley dialing up a little play, you know, just a little games up there in the interior line to try and get off of blocks and get back and get some penetration. Linebarger is difficult to bring down.
Second and goal from the 5-yard line. 45 degrees is the air temperature right now. Light rain and fog. They'll go two wide receivers to the right side, try to shoot the blitz off the left side. They dance, and they'll get inside the two-and-a-half-yard line. It'll be third and goal from there as Pisgah tries to bow up right here and keep them out of the end zone. Saw Vadre Crouch come off the left side. The play went the other direction.
Pisgah is playing great defense in terms of getting to the point of attack. They're getting off the blocks. They've got the right calls. They're getting in position. They just don't have the speed to match Hickory right now.
Third and goal from the 2-yard line. They'll go an I set with two receivers near to the formation off to the right side. Pisgah loads up the box and now will jump off sides. Vadre Crouch came up from his secondary position. It'll be half the distance to the goal line now and third and goal from now the 1.
Ricky was dialing up a boundary blitz with Vadre Crouch, and he tried to time it, but just it was a delayed call. It was the right time to have a long cadence out of Hickory, and Vadre just came right through the guard tackle gap.
8:36 to go in the first quarter. There is no score. First possession by either team. Hickory deep inside the hometown hardware defensive red zone of Pisgah here. North end zone in front of us. Here's a snap. Quarterback keeper straight ahead, and I don't think he got in. They're going to mark him just outside the boundary of the goal line. It'll be fourth down in just inches, and we'll see what the Tornadoes want to do right here.
Well, that sneak didn't work because it was a nice, they submarined right at the center into the A gaps and really clogged it up, bringing up a fourth down.
They're going to try to probably do the same thing. They got inside the 1-yard line by a football's length. So that's how close it is. Just maybe 6, 7, 8 inches here. snap. They're going to give it to their tailback, and he's in easily. Touchdown for Hicker. So on fourth and goal, the Black Bears give up a score, 7:47 here in the first quarter, and they're down 6-0. Again, got away from the quarterback trying to sneak it in. They gave it to their big back, and he was able to find a little bit of a seam off the left side right there, and they'll come on and try the extra point here. Linnean 6-0. First possession of the night again by either team. Here's a snap. The hold. The kick is away, and it's through. Timeout on the field, 7:47 here in the first quarter. Hickory leads it 7-0. Back in a moment, WPTL, the voice of the Black Bears.
How about them Black Bears? Fat Buddy's Ribs and Barbecue, proud of our team. To win in this game, it takes speed, strength, and the right game plan. For winning barbecue, it takes slow cooking, the right sauces, and attention to detail. Whether for the game, a to-go box, or to get together later on, come to Fat Buddy's Ribs and Barbecue, Waynesville Plaza, where the food's so good, it'll make you squoil.
Now, WPTL's coverage of Black Bear football continues.
The first possession of the night by either team. Hickory takes the ball, drives it down the field, running it for the most part. They did get a 15-yard personal foul penalty go their way. And they lead it 7-0. We'll see what Pisgah's offense can do in terms of an answer here. That drive took up, I'm sorry, Chuck, that drive took up nearly half of the first quarter clock.
Yeah, and now it's, we want to see how Hickory can handle the passing game. If they can't handle the passing attack for Pisgah, then we could be here all night playing something like a 63-61 game or something like that. I mean, this is going to be a shootout but Pisgah has got to move the football and put points on the board with the pass.
There's something that the officials don't like. They've come all the way across the field, and I think that word came from the Hickory coaches, and now they're pointing at a fan perhaps down here on the sideline or against the fence. I don't have any idea what's going on, but Canton PD is down there trying to figure out what's going on as well. Not sure. Maybe it was lights perhaps that were on down here in the south end zone pointing towards the field. I'm not sure, but we've got it settled now perhaps, and now they'll kick it away and we'll see what we can do. That ball bounds. It'll be picked up at the 10-yard line by Vadre, 20-yard line, and he goes down at the 22. That's where Pisgah will start their drive, the first of the night by the Black Bears here. They'll drive towards that south end zone. Three double S. Irwin leads Ashbrook, 7-0. At Irwin, essentially dropped from a 1 seed to an 8 seed in 1 week after losing to Asheville last week. Again, 7-0. Irwin leads Ashbrook here in 3AA football.
This right here, you know, just on that first series, it looked like a Big Ten team playing a Southeastern Conference team.
Three wide receivers to the right side. Here's a snap and a pitch out to the right side. Lucas Hall hemmed up, and he'll lose a yard. It'll be second down and 11. That didn't go anywhere. Polk leads Madison in 2A football, 6-0.
I mean, they were just flying from the snap of the ball, trying to run a speed option out of that spread formation to the wide side of the field. And Hickory, their defense looked like we didn't even get a hat on any of their players.
We'll go three wide to the left, one to the right. Hall back there, shotgun as usual for McKinley Brown here as he operates from about the 20-yard line. He takes a snap. He rolls to the right side. Here comes pressure, and he fumbles the football. It's on the turf, and it's picked up by Hickory. So first down and 10 now at the 15-yard line as McKinley Brown puts it on the turf, and the Black Bears in serious danger of going down two scores here before they even get three plays run on offense.
I didn't like the fact that they were rolling him out. McKinley doesn't throw well rolling to his backside, and that even though that was the wide side, they flooded the zone out of the trips formation. And he just got hit from the blind side, and the ball was coughed up, and big mistake right now puts Hickory in a position, like you said, Chad, that they could possibly go up 14-0.
The two wide receivers to the right, they'll go eye set. Play action, they'll roll to the right side. Their quarterback's in a little bit of trouble, and he'll go down a sack. And that ball's on the turf, and we might have a chance to have it. There's a flag down there too, Chuck, and I'm afraid that's going to go against us for a horse collar. I think Pisgah's got the football, but I don't think it's going to matter. I think this penalty is going to go against us. It is a personal foul against the Black Bears, which will negate that fumble. So terrible luck for the Black Bears right there after making a good defensive play.
Well, leave it to the state of North Carolina high school officials. I knew I saw the white hat. Looks like the same white hat and maybe the same officiating crew that was at the Irwin game, Chad. Okay.
So what would have been a Pisgah recovery on a big play will go as a bad call, perhaps, as Coach Chappell calls a timeout and peers across the field towards the official. I'm sure he'll want to have a conference, and he'll burn a timeout here to do it. We'll take a timeout down the line as well. 6:46 left to play here in the first quarter. Pisgah down 7-0. Back in a moment. WPTL, the voice of the Black Bears.
Nothing runs like a deer. Oh, that's a trademark of John Deere. Too much for a youngster to handle. But at Hometown Hardware, they have an assortment of 5-inch John Deere Rev-N-Go farm towing vehicles with super soft monster tread tires, just $9.99 each. And Dad, if you need a new oil burner nozzle to tune up that furnace, they have a good selection at Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill. Take the family. There's something for everybody.
Black Bear football continues here on AM 920 WPTL.
Chad Upton, Chuck Friedman here in the stadium. Robert Burr, of course, Tim Hahn is back across the river at our WPTL studios. Black Bears down 7-0, 6:46 here in the first quarter. Hickory with the football again. It'll be first down and about 7 from about the 12-yard line after that penalty.
Well,
against
during
the Black Bears, the second personal foul against us so far.
Yeah, during the timeout, Chappell was having a very stern discussion with the white hat. People don't know that Chappell took that film from the Irwin game and sent it in, and apparently that didn't go well with the booking agents.
Hickory pitches off to the left side, makes a lot of nice little moves right there, but can't get anything going. May have gotten back to the line of scrimmage. I'm not sure as we finally get over there and swarm it and snuff that deal out. So it'll be second down and about 7 from right there at about the 13-yard line.
Boy, I tell you what. Now that time they were bottled up, but they ran the toss sweep over into the wide side or the short side of the field. So there's not a lot of room, and a host of Black Bears are right there. But still, it took about 5 or 6 to get this kid linebacker bottled up.
They'll go 2 wide to the right. None to the left side. They'll put a tight end to the right. They'll go I set on 2nd and 8 now. Here's a pitch to the left side, but not before a flag comes in for a false start against Hickory. Someone in the backfield moved, and that'll back them out 5 more yards, bringing up a 2nd and 13. I wonder if the crowd had something to do with getting that call, because I heard a lot of yells before they threw the flag.
Shout out goes to the Big Black from Poss Milner, Trammell Avenue, and Bruce Engel, Virginia. Go Bears.
Appreciate you listening, guys. Again, you can let Chuck know at 828-646-0626. Just send him a text with your name and where you are. We'll be happy to let everyone else know. Here's a little swing pass out to the left side. They dance for one move, but not a lot there on that side. The ball might be on the turf. As everybody kind of come around the ball right there, and as the officials are pulling players away from each other. Again, it looks like Hickory will maintain possession, but it'll be third down and long. As Pisgah so far on this drive right now after the timeout have done a pretty good job. It'll be 3rd down and 7 here. From the 12-yard line, High Brighton, Chuck, leads Patton 14-0. High Brighton and Patton would be the opponent of the winner of this game tonight. Shelby leads Mountain Heritage 7-0. Once again, High Brighton leads Patton 14-0. The most important game other than this one here tonight for us. Three receivers here to the right, 2 to the left side. No one in the backfield. Shotgun snap, pump fakes. Now he'll run for it, and he's got a lot of room, and he'll score. 5:27 left to go here in the first quarter, and now Hickory has gone up 13-0 as they spread out everybody by running five receivers out there. It was designed draw by the quarterback, and he went straight up the middle of the field and scored from about 12 yards out. And not the start that we were looking for in this one. 13-0 with 5:27 in the first, and they'll be on to try the extra point here. High snap, they got it down. Kick is away, almost blocked, but he got it through, and it's 14-0. We'll take a timeout, and we'll be back in just a moment. The Black Bears down 14-0 to Hickory. WPTL Radio, the voice of the Black Bears.
The Pisgah Black Bears know that it takes hard work to reach their goals. This applies not only to basketball, but to personal finances as well. You work hard for your money, and you deserve to have a portfolio that works as hard as you do. Jim Bromley, your Edward Jones financial advisor, can help. If your investments aren't putting forth the effort, call 828-648-0045 or stop by his office at 92 Crossroad Hill Road in Canton. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC. Back to Pisgah Black Bear Football here on AM 920 WPTL.
Live here at Pisgah Memorial Stadium. The Black Bears find themselves down 14-0 as Hickory has operated for the most part on a relatively short field. Their first drive, they drove it 65, 60 yards, 70 yards, something around that ballpark right there. And then the second drive, they only had to operate inside the 20. So they don't have a ton of offense in the first quarter, really, but they've got that 14-point lead. They'll squib kick, and it'll go out of bounds, so Pisgah will get to make a decision here. Do they want to re-kick it or do they want to take the football upfield? We'll see what Coach Chappell wants to do here as the Black Bears again down 14-0 early in this one.
Go Bears from the firearms instructors at the BLET Class 23 on the firing range at Jay Creek. Also have Fisher giving a shout out to Stand Up Bears, go number 40. And we have Sabrina Ash of Canton, North Carolina, listening in, telling, go Bears, you can do it.
Hi, Brighton, now up 21-0 over Patton. So, and we knew that that was a good team regardless of what happens here tonight. So light rain continues to fall. Again, it gets, as we go through the evening now, it continues to get a little bit more foggy. So visibility might become an issue as we go down the line here tonight as well. Black Bears down 14-0 and kind of flat right now. Got to get something on offense. Only three plays so far on offense we've run. Here's the kick. It'll fall and be picked up finally after it dribbles down to the 5-yard line. Here comes Vadre upfield to the 30, to the 32. A nice return there of about 32 yards, and that's where Pisgah will start the next drive. Takes a little bit of time to pull the Hickory players out of the Pisgah sideline right there.
Yeah, a lot of bodies. They're getting it going. I tell you, boys will be boys.
One of the things, though, Chuck, as we see Reynolds leading Sun Valley 6-0, one of the things, though, that we know we're good at is making adjustments as we go through time. Hopefully that'll be something that'll play out here earlier and sooner rather than later.
And I think we're coming out. We're going to go pretty much in the spread with a double. We're four wide receivers right now.
Yeah, four wide, two each side, one set. Lucas Hall, shotgun snap. McKinley will run straight ahead. A lot of running room. McKinley Brown all the way up to close to midfield. 48-yard line is a spot. He picked up 15. It's first down and 10 for the Big Black.
And that's a great adjustment out of Coach Brett Chappell, is that they went wide splits out of the offensive line.
They did the same thing we did the same thing to them that they did to us on that last score.
Right,
play.
And it just creates natural seams to go through. McKinley just put two hands around the football and secured it and just picked up a big first down.
Quickly to the line of scrimmage, first down and 10. Same thing. He'll run again, this time only picking up 2 yards to the just at the base of the power P on the field here at the 50-yard line. Will operate from the left hash. It'll be second and 8. Shelby leads Mountain Heritage 14-0. Murphy leads Rosman 7-0. And let us know who you are and where you are. I can't tell you enough how much we appreciate hearing from you guys. It certainly makes it more than worthwhile for us. 646-0626 Swing pass, left side, incomplete. Intended for Anderson right there on that slant. They ran across down there, Chuck, on the left side. It falls incomplete.
Well, they're just running the, you know, the slant out combo routes on both sides of the football. McKinley's trying to read where, you know, there's less defenders in the area, but that time neither Jesse Anderson or Trevor Johnson knew that the ball was coming to him.
Three receivers to the right side this time, operating from the left hash, one to the near side. That's Anderson. Piedmont leads Tuscola 6-0 in Waynesville. Lucas Hall again is the set man. Shotgun snap. Three-step drop out of it. Here comes pressure. He steps up in the pocket. In trouble, goes down, sacked at the 45-yard line. It'll be fourth down, and the Black Bears will have to punt the football away.
Just no protection right now. And that was, I was watching the far side trips, and Hunter White just got behind the secondary, but McKinley Brown just had zero time
well,
to
what
get
you got
set
to do then
it.
Right there is shorten up those routes, right?
Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to run anything beyond 10 yards. You're going to have to start flooding the zones and curls and just nickel and dime them right now because your protection is breaking down.
We'll take a timeout after this punt play by the Black Bears with 3:52 left, down 14-0. A nice, deep, driving punt drives them back all the way to the 10-yard line. Now they'll try to return it after he makes one man miss. They get a block down the sideline. He's at the 40-yard line, still on his feet, and will go down finally after a 35-yard punt return to the 45. Back in a moment, WPTL, the voice of the Black Bears.
You need some cash, there ain't no doubt. Come another pawn and gun. Uncle Sam ain't gonna bail you out. Come another pawn and gun. Buy it, sell it, trade it.
AM 920 is WPTL Canton.
Now back to the stadium. Here's Chad Upton and Chuck Fiebernets on WPTL.
Chad and Chuck back at the stadium. Little pitch playoff to the right side. The right side, and that gets shut down quickly. They lost a yard right there to the 44-yard line. It'll be 2nd and 11 for the Tornadoes right here.
Tiffany Woods is watching in the stands. She must be listening
good
too. Thanks, Tiffany. What a way to go right there.
2nd and 11. Coming up for Hickory right here. Yeah, I mean, I love for people. And you can do that now. A couple years ago, you couldn't listen live because our stream was delayed a few seconds. But now it's pretty close to being real time.
Fisher shouts out to Charlie Privet in Dutch Cove community. How about them Bears, Charlie?
Two receivers left, one to the right, one set. Back to pass, he rolls left, under pressure, going to go down. Another sack here, this time by the Black Bears, as they'll mark him at the 38-yard line. So it'll be third down and long. And I would imagine this offense for Hickory is not necessarily built for these third and 15 and third and 18 type plays, so maybe we can take advantage right here.
Absolutely. Mike James and the James family.
I hadn't heard from Mike lately.
Mike's
hope he's doing well.
Mike's listening to the game, and he says, go Bears, from the James family.
Terrific family. I'm glad everybody's listening over there. As Hickory will take a timeout and we'll keep it right here, down 14-0, but looking at a 3rd and 17, 18-yard play coming up out of Hickory in a moment.
Go Bears from the White family in Bethel. And they sent me them footballs. Now they got a trophy on it.
Wow.
I'm going to have to go to White family and show them how
he
they did it.
He just needs to text you how he's doing there.
I tell you what. In honor of Charlie Foleman, hit him from Dean, Bruce, and Poss in the end zone. But they're in the end zone. Boys, how you doing? Waving to you.
And they've been doing that for a long, long time down there. There's a lot of stuff that goes on down there, I'll tell you that.
You know Zeke's in the middle of that,
oh,
isn't he?
Yeah, in his chair. 21-0, Shelby leads Mountain Heritage. Reynolds leads Sun Valley 14-0.
Nana Boyd listening in Bulls Gap, Tennessee. Big Black, let's get something going. Shout out to Big Jacob Boyd. Boom! Number 71.
I wonder what they'd be talking about right here after that losing those yards in that sack, what you do right here is that you take this time out to put a trick play in or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, you got something that you just want to make sure your team is going to get it done with. You want to make sure that you don't do anything crazy to lose any more yards.
I mean, this could be a momentum switch right here if we can make this stop. 14-0 is a score, 2:14 in the first quarter. The Black Bears are down right at the moment. Two receivers to the left side, eyes set, coming up for the Tornadoes here. They'll go under center. Pisgah, a lot of guys in the box, and they're going to run the football, it looks like. They'll pitch it off the left side. That's going nowhere, Chuck, for a yard. It's fourth down and long, and the Black Bears will get the football back.
The defense is starting to get some rhythm and start to get their feet. You know, the initial shock of what happened in the first part of this football game, Pisgah's starting to get a little more enthusiasm and a little more speed on defense. And when they're getting to the point of attack, they're they're closing in, having an attitude when they get there. All the way from Memphis, Tennessee, this morning, just pulled in. Matt DeLozier. Let's go. Get it rolling, Bears.
All right, so Hickory set to punt the football away. Here's a snap, and they get it off just barely. It'll take a Hickory roll and be downed inside the 20-yard line to the 18, 17, 16-yard line, and that's where the Black Bears will go back out on offense and see if we can get something started here. 2 minutes left here in the, check that, 1:22 left in the first quarter, and the Black Bears go back on offense. They're down 14-0. Again, Shelby leads Mountain Heritage 21-0. Reynolds leads Sun Valley 14-0. Another score, the most interesting score, most important score of the night, besides this game, of course, is High Brighton leading Patton last time we saw 21-0. This winner of this game tonight will take on the winner of that game next week. That would be here if Pisgah wins.
They brought in a tight end.
Three receivers to the right side as well. Now they'll split a man out of the backfield. Back to pass. Looks left side. Throws middle. It's got his man. It is tipped, and it is on the turf and incomplete. It hit four or five bodies as they threw to the tight end, Hunter Wyke, coming out down the middle in that little seam right there, but he couldn't haul it in. If he could have, it would have been a 15-yard pickup, and it bounced off a lot of hands right there.
Well, what they did was they took both tackles and put them to the right-hand side, and they had an overloaded line, and they put the tight end in the tackle spot to the wide side of the field, and that was Hunter Wyke, and he just got his man beat, but the defender pulled on his jersey just before and then got a hand on the pass.
Freedom leads East Rowan 13-0 on our side of the bracket. Here's a snap, and McKinley's going to keep and try to work his way upfield for a few yards, and does, out to the 22-yard line. So a third and manageable five here coming up for Pisgah with a minute and counting left in the first quarter.
Great athletes in these skill positions. A lot of speed for Hickory. They're manning up on the wideouts, and they are playing tight coverage, and they're crowding the box. They're not going to let them run the football. They're forcing them that they're going to be contested every pass in the short zones.
Back to pass. Looks, fires. It is caught. What a catch. Did he call? No, they're going to call it incomplete off the turf, and it was Martinez down there. Slid down as he did. The ball came out and jumped right back in his hands, but it hit the ground. And it'll be fourth down, and Pisgah will have to punt it away.
Martinez was supposed to hook up on a curl route and curled in too far. McKinley threw the ball just as he was breaking on that curl route, and he was 2 yards past the sticks. And Martinez just came too far inside and had to kind of dive back. And with the wet turf, a little bit of the wet turf, his feet went out from underneath him.
There's two incompletions in that drive right there really hurt us. Here's a snap and the rugby-style kick across the field. Takes a huge Pisgah bounce at the 45-yard line, and roll all the way inside the 30 to the 28. So that worked out okay. Pisgah goes back on defense.
Well, there was a big collision with Jeff Henson and a Hickory Red Tornado near midfield. It was away from the play. They just didn't see each other. Both got up, both got five.
And I think that was because the punt didn't go where it was planned to go. It came all the way across the field. I think he mishit it a little bit, and it took a great bounce for us.
Right, but both Henson and that player from Hickory just kind of patted each other with a low five and, asked each other if it was all right.
Best I can tell, my estimation is that both these teams are really treating each other well in terms of sportsmanship so far tonight.
Oh, yeah. Hickory just got the difference is Hickory's speed.
Two receivers left One to the right, they'll have a back out there off the wing this time, Chuck, on the right side. Rolls to the left side, wants to look downfield and throw. Loads up, sidearm, flings it, incomplete and out of bounds. He's got a weird motion throwing it.
Well, that's a sophomore. He's a slinger. He's one of those, you know, Raul Pryor types.
It's almost like a whip from the side.
I mean, he just doesn't have great motions and mechanics throwing the football, but he is dangerous with his feet. So that gives them another weapon in the backfield. And, you know, what we are talking about, linebacker, their tailback, and then their sophomore quarterback, Jaquan Crawford. So they got two players right there in the backfield that are dangerous that you got to keep your eye on, both those players, number 12 and number 6. Number 6 being the tailback, linebacker.
Two receivers to the left side, to the right side on second down and 10. They got one in the backfield. They'll operate shotgun. They'll hand it to him, and he's going to be met and then skips out of it and still on his feet, and he's got a first down and more at the 50-yard line. It's a foot race at the 40. Tackled from behind and brought down at the 30. We had him hemmed up, but he broke it out to the Pisgah 30-yard line, first down and 10 for the Tornadoes.
Just not tackling right now. I mean, it's difficult enough to get a hold of, but, you know, you cannot arm tackle. We've seen this kind of defensive performance against Smoky Mountain, and, you know, we took it on the chin, and, you know, there's not that aggressive pounding on the body. And right now, Pisgah is kind of searching for their identity on the defense, and, you know, they're trying to figure out how they can contain this speed for Hickory.
First quarter did not go particularly well. Hopefully the next three will go further in our favor. 14-0 is your score here after one quarter complete here at Pisgah against Hickory. We'll be back in just a few minutes. This is WPTL Radio, the voice of Black Bear football.
Ken Wilson Ford has been doing business locally for over 31 years, and they've earned Ford Motor Company's highest honor, the President's Award. Ken Wilson Ford wants to thank all customers for their loyal business and look forward to many more years to come. Customer satisfaction is the goal. Ken Wilson believes in treating people right. The professional staff offers best selection and deals every day without any additional dock fees and processing fees. Ken Wilson Ford in Canton, your number one source in Western North Carolina.
Riverview Farm and Garden Supply has seed, fertilizer, hay, and everything you need at fair prices to keep your farm, lawn, and garden looking and working its best. Check on Riverview's exclusive line of Pisgah wear. Hats, sweats, t-shirts, decals, and pullovers are available to keep you looking your best on Pisgah Black Bear game day. That's Riverview Farm and Garden under the big Pisgah flag, just down from the stadium on Penland Street in Canton. Call 648-2164. Riverview Farm and Garden are proud sponsors of Pisgah football on WPTL.
You're listening to Black Bear Football on AM 920 WPTL.
Start of the second quarter here. Hickory football, 31-yard line. Pisgah territory, swing pass out here, and he's cut down immediately at the 34-yard line. A nice tackle right there by Jeff Henson, coming up quickly. 11:48 here in the start of the second quarter. Second down. Make it 14 now for Hickory as they try to swing it out to the left side, but it was snuffed out by Henson easily. Brings the ball back out to the 34-yard line. Now Hickory driving towards the south end zone. Here in front of us, two receivers to the left, two to the right side, one set back. They'll operate shotgun now. They've come out of that set to start with a little bit. Here's the snap and a give to the tailback. Misses. Makes one man miss, can't make two miss, gets back to the line of scrimmage and goes down. It'll be third down and about 14. So when Pisgah's making these tackles, they're making them for losses. And that's been the issue so far tonight, Chuck, defensively. It's not about not being where we're supposed to be. It's about finishing right here.
Yeah, finishing means wrapping. They're getting there and they're going, and I mean, they're shooting the legs and everything, but you cannot go those ESPN websites or ESPN highlight reel hits. You got to go and wrap up this kid. You got to bring the wrap and finish that play.
So it's not about being in out of position, though.
No, they're I'm telling you, they're playing from the snap to the point where they get to the ball carrier. They're playing great. They just cannot bring down linebacker.
Here's a big third down and 14 play here. They'll play action, rolls to the right side under pressure, spins out of one tackle, spins out of two tackles, still on his feet. Now he'll finally go down, Chuck, a sack to the 42-yard line as Pisgah was tenacious right there and made him lose another 6-7 yards. It'll be fourth down and maybe about 20, 22 yards. So we'll see what Hickory does right here. Maybe more like 25 yards from the 43-yard line. Looks like they'll punt the football away. That was a big play defensively.
Crawford's running around there and makes five Black Bears miss before they just keep bowling. Again, you had two or three guys taking double shots at him. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating to watch this speed and elusiveness of Hickory.
Here's a snap, and they'll get the punt blocked. It's straight up in the air. It takes a Pisgah roll. Now it's going to be returned at the 45-yard line, and 44-yard line. So Pisgah gets the block in good field position, Chuck. The first punt block of the season for the Black Bears.
Boy, this is now the crowd's getting into it, and the team is. This is something that this is right now. This may be the break that we need because we get the football on a short field finally at the 45. Well, it's going to be placed just at about the 44-yard line of Hickory. So let's see what we can do from here.
Three receivers to the right side, near side, operate from the right hash mark, moving towards the north end zone in front of us. One receiver, that's Anderson, out to the left side. McKinley Brown, shotgun. Lucas Hall, just to his right, stands at midfield. Snap. Play action. Throws down the left side. It's got a man down there. It's being held on to, and a flag comes in. He held him the whole way down. It'll be a 15-yard penalty, I believe, and a first down for the Big Black. As the man out there, Jesse Martinez, I believe, held the entire time down the sideline.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing. When they get beat, they'll pull on that back of that jersey because, you know, when you're getting up there, man, and Jesse Anderson just went right by him, used an inside move, which you don't want as a cornerback, is you do not want to get that split in. You do not want to allow the guy in your inside. And Anderson took that inside away from him and just took the seam route. But as he went by, he pulled on that jersey and kept it pulling on it. And it was right there in front of the back judge, so who's down on the play. So that'll be a 15-yard penalty.
One of the bad things about that call, you know, in the NFL, that's a spot foul.
That'd have been down inside the 10.
Exactly. It's almost, with pass interference calls on long plays, Chuck, it's almost a benefit sometimes for teams on defense to do that because the results are far better than what would happen if they were beaten and caught. Empty backfield, swing one out here, caught by Hall, but he's tackled well at the 28-yard line, so maybe a yard right there, trying to set up a little bit of a screen play and get some blocking out here on the edge. Didn't work out for us. It'll be second down and 9 from the 28-yard line. Shelby leads Mountain Heritage 28-0. Polk leads Madison 13-0. It'll be Johnson to the left side, slot. Anderson splits wide to the left. Wykie slot to the right side, and Martinez split to the far side, right. We'll operate from the right hash mark, 28-yard line, driving towards, again, the north end zone here.
Free safety for Hickory went off and because his helmet went off, and they brought in a substitute. Let's see if they attack that free safety.
Dylan Hanna is the man out there. Here's a swing pass wide open. It is caught. He scores. Touchdown, Big Black.
Oh, no, we got a flag.
He was wide open down here, but the flag is on that side of the field, and I'm afraid that's going to be a pass interference call against us. We'll see. I did not see what happened out there.
Oh, the Pisgah players are saying it's a touchdown. It's on their bench. Something happened. I've got to get my binoculars on.
We'll check the call here. First of all, the touchdown is good. That means it'll go against Hickory. And the goal horn sounds. Sideline warning over there. The goal horn sounds. The Black Bears are going to cut this lead in half, Chuck.
Everybody listening to us is sitting there going, it's on us, because we've had a whole season.
Well, and that was the most likely scenario when you look at where that foul was. And when you look at the fact that he was that wide open, we thought that there had to be something like that. All right. Pisgah operates, starts out of the swinging gate. Now they'll form back up to kick the extra point here. Higdon to do the honors and try to cut this lead in half. The Black Bears are right back into this deal right now. Snap. Flag. We'll check this. Piedmont leads Tuscola 9-0. Avery and Bessemer City 7-7. Offside is the call against Hickory. We'll see if we decline it here and just continue to kick it. We'll see.
Points are at a premium. We can't go down eight. We got to just decline this and just get that ball split
right,
the pipe
because,
and take that
and understand,
points.
That makes it more difficult, the extra point, at a yard and a half away.
I love his aggressiveness throughout the season, but this time right here, we're coming from behind. We just got to take that 1 point.
Snap is down, and he hits the upright. To the left side, he miskicked it and hit off the left side. We'll go into the timeout after cutting the lead, though, significantly. It's 14-6 now with 8:28 left to go in the second quarter. Pisgah with life here. WPTR Radio, the voice of the Black Bears.
American Pawn and Pickers, and we do the picking.
Go to the grinning.
Mind selling, trading, and loaning money too. You can bring it to us, or we will come to you. Antiques, guns, and guitars, and diamond rings. We will loan you money, or about buy most anything. American Pawn and Pickers, when we do the picking. Go to the grinning. 1116 Baton Avenue. Y'all come see us now. You hear?
Your home for Pisgah sports is AM 920. Now back to the gridiron. Here's Chad and Chuck.
Missed extra point notwithstanding. A few minutes ago, Hickory had the football in pretty good field position against Pisgah. We were afraid that we could go down 21-0 and see this game slip out of our hands in the first half. That has changed now as Pisgah finds a way to get on the board 14-6, and they're right back in it as they boom it into the end zone for a touchback. He killed that one. Maybe he'll get his confidence back right there. Pisgah with some life out here, to be sure. 14-6 is the score.
Yeah, what had happened was is they looked and saw Hickory creeping up, thinking short, and they had their back people up at the 15 and 20-yard line, and Hickman just kicked it in an open spot, and that ball bounced inside the 10 and then went right into the end zone.
And that's the best answer for that.
Right. You want to see them creep up, thinking, okay, we're going to try and get our playmaker
and
that ball up
it.
There. Then here, go chase this ball.
Exactly. Softball, slow pitch softball. We used to call that getting burned.
Boy, there's a mismatch out here. Hickory's guy split in on Jeff Henson's like 6'4".
Here's the snap. Rolls to the right side. Underhand throws it for a short gain, Chuck, maybe 2 yards. He was hit as soon as he caught it. It'll be second about 7 here from the 23-yard line of Hickory. They've got 73 yards to get to pay dirt. 14-6 is the score. Hickory leads it by 8 here with 8:08 left to go in the second quarter. Freedom leads East Rowan 27-0.
You know, the momentum is, even though Hickory is leading 14-6.
Oh, no doubt about it.
The momentum has swung, but the thing is, I get this feel like they have abandoned their downhill I formation running game and trying to get, you know, another touchdown real quick.
Two receivers either side of the set. Snap. Swings one out here. It's almost tipped and picked off, but they caught it, but goes down immediately for a nominal gain of maybe a yard. It'll be third down, and we'll call it about 7.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that looked like Cheryl Rathbone that played soft at the defensive end and read that all the way and leaped up, and that ball had to be, you know, misdirected by the quarterback, Jaquan Crawford.
Big play coming up here, 3rd and 7. I want to say hello to my wife, Sarah, and my son, Ty. I just saw him drive by the stadium. I'm sure that we've spent some money.
One of my
evening.
Favorite fans, a Pisgah fan, is Lori Cope, C-O-P-E, from Dutch Cove, listening to the football game. She says, go Bears. She loves her Black Bears.
3rd and 7 here. Snap. Rolls to the right side. He's going to try to run for it. Nowhere to go. He goes down at the 24-yard line. It's 4th down and 6. Pisgah will get the football back.
Much better defensive stands the last 3 series. Pisgah has played well defensively, and now they're starting to wrap up when they get to that ball carrier. But is there something wrong with linebacker, his linebacker, because he's not into the ball game?
I think that might be.
They're using a different tailback. That may be why they're abandoning it, linebacker. I'm going to have to see from my binoculars where linebacker's at.
Good point. Jesse Anderson back to receive the punt. He shanked it off the side of his foot and rolls out of bounds. to the 47-yard line. Now it's going to be picked up by Jesse Anderson. Jesse Anderson on his feet and takes it to the 43-yard line. Great field position when we return. The Black Bears only down 8, 6:09 here in the second quarter. WPTL, the voice of Black Bear football.
Mary Ann Freeman talks about Singleton's Automotive in Canton.
Car care with character suits Singleton's Automotive. I have to depend on my vehicle. I would recommend Singleton's to anybody, and I do. I would definitely tell a friend, if you need car work, take your car to Singleton's Automotive, 55 New Clyde Highway. I tell them the phone number at 648-8300. Every time I'm there, I try to get their ink pens, and I give out their ink pens for them.
Back to Pisgah Black Bear football here on AM 920 WPTL.
Black Bears back in this game. Two receivers left, two to the right from the 42-yard line of Hickory. Here's a snap. Swings one out here to the left side. It's caught at the 40-yard line. 35-yard line. He was wide open.
Whoa.
Sort of a tough pass, but he hauled it in and picked up about seven. It'll be second and short.
It had every it had the look from the spread like it was the inside zone read, and then he pulled it, and then he threw the ball. Poor Dylan Hanna was the guinea pig on that, and he just got killed by about four Hickory defenders, and wide open in the wide side was sitting out there the safety valve. That play will be effective for him for the rest of the game.
5:58, second quarter, Pisgah down 8, driving at 35-yard line of Hickory. Two receivers left, two to the right. Here's a snap, and we'll see McKinley carry it straight ahead, close to first down yardage at the 32-yard line. It'll depend on the spot.
Nanny from Canton, let's go Bears. Keep up the good game. And thank you, Nanny, for listening to the broadcast.
They'll look over to the side, see what they want to do, and they'll give it to him. First down for the Big Black. Martinez down here to the near side. Jesse Anderson down here to the near side. Trevor Johnson to the near side. One back. Trips to the right side. Middle of the field, 32-yard line. Snap. Here's a give. He takes out of his hands. It's Vadre. Vadre makes a couple of moves, stays on his feet to the 29-yard line. Made a man miss. Picks up three tough yards. It'll be second down and seven inside the 30.
Boy, I tell you what, Vadre, and I do see Linebogger now, their main man in the backfield, their tailback, he's playing strong safety. Maybe it was they were spelling him on that last series.
Especially if he's trying to go both ways. Johnson, Anderson to the left, Martinez, White to the right side. White and Johnson are the slots here as Vadre Crouch stays in there at tailback alongside McKinley Brown. Play action, swings wide here again, wide open, 30-yard line, 25-yard line, dives ahead to the 20-yard line and gets the first down. He might have got a few more yards, but he dove out of bounds to pick up the first down. As traffic was coming, they'll spot him at the 21-yard line, just a yard outside of the single-stop red zone.
That is the second time that they ran that. That's a zone read, drawing them all in, and all it is the wide receiver stays, you know, right behind the line of scrimmage, and then McKinley pulls it right at the last second and throws it, and it's wide open. You see Hickory right now. They're calling timeout to make adjustments on that play.
4:37 left to play here in the second quarter. Pisgah was down 14-0. Looked like they may go down 21-0. They're just a few plays away, perhaps now, from tying this deal back up. Back in just a moment, WPTL Radio, the voice of the Black Bears.
Haywood EMC is proud to support Pisgah Bears sports. Your local Touchstone Energy Cooperative has grown with a single commitment of affordable, reliable, and safe electrical services. In addition, they can provide you with energy conservation assistance, security lighting, backup generators, and whole house surge protection for your home or business to make life better for you, the member. Haywood EMC, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative.
Let's get back to the game with Chad Upton and Chuck Fiebernets on WPTL.
Pisgah first down and 10, 22-yard line. They'll go two receivers to the left side. That's Johnson and Anderson. Hunter out here to the near side along with Martinez. One set again. Shotgun, snap. Looks to the left side, pump fake. He's in trouble. In trouble and goes down at the 31-yard line. They blew that play up. Pisgah loses significant yards now back outside to the 30-yard line. It'll be second down and long.
Our biggest, one of our gunners, R.J. McClure, a preseason all-sack player for Lenore Ryan is listening to the ball game from Hickory, North Carolina. RJ's had a great career in his senior year for the Bears of Lenore Ryan.
Second and 17 now after the sack loss. Two receivers left and two to the right. Back to pass, a little bit of time. Steps up in the pocket, throws middle of the field and short, intended for Hunter Wyke at the 11-yard line. Again, falls short. It'll be third down and long now. One of the things we're seeing right now for us really is we're not having a lot of time typically to make those long throws downfield. Still in relatively good field position. Probably need to pick up 5, 6, 7 yards probably to give Higdon a legitimate chance of making a field goal here on a tough night in terms of conditions.
Kick some behind and take some names. Go Pisgah from Brett Barlumjar.
I can't see it. Two receivers left again, two to the right. Second 17. Swings one out here. It's caught. He's going to have to make something happen. He can't, and he goes down at the 35-yard line. So now it's fourth down. And over 20 yards to go, and we'll see what we want to do right here. Still in that four down position right here in high school football, but a long way to go to connect for a first down. Need to get all the way out to the 12-yard line, and Pisgah will talk about it. Takes the timeout, and we'll take one back over across the river as well. Pisgah down 8 points, 14-6 here with 3:30 in the second quarter. This is AM 920 WPTL, WPTLradio.net, and on your Android or iPhone application with TuneIn Radio. Back in a moment.
Carolina! Chip. Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it. Carolina Pawn and Gun. They got guns and tools and diamond rings, guitars and electronic bass. Now if you need some cash, there ain't no doubt Uncle Sam ain't gonna bail you out. Come see the folks at Carolina Pawn and Gun. They gonna hook you up. Get on over there, son. Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it. Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Now WPTL's coverage of Black Bear football continues.
Scoring update from Waynesville, Piedmont 9, Tuscola 7. Mountaineers have put a touchdown on the board. Here, we're down 8. Three receivers right, one left on fourth down and 23 from the 35-yard line. Pump fakes, looks downfield, loads up, throws down there. He's got his man. He caught it! He scored! It's Trevor Johnson downfield in the middle, and he brings it in. Touchdown for the Big Black.
Inside out of trips. He just came from the inside and ran a post and beat his man. And McKinley Brown just absolutely put a nice touch on it. And it was in stride, caught it at the 3-yard line and just coasted into the end zone. What a big play on fourth and 20.
Unbelievable. Fourth down and 23, and he found it. And golly, that's got to make everybody feel good right now as we head in late into the second quarter with 3:24 left. Pisgah looks like they're running that swinging gate play. We'll see what they want to do here. Now down two. Snap. Looks. Flips it over. Caught! He scored it again! 3:24! And the Black Bears have tied the football game.
Kelly Jenkins from Canton. Go Big Black!
Wow. Fourth down and 23. And the Black Bears find a way to make it happen. And you're talking about a momentum shift entirely back across to the other sideline now to Pisgah. These players are feeling it right now, so is this crowd.
Brett from Canton, let's go Bears, you rock.
What a big, big play. Golly. Fourth and 23. Trevor Johnson wide open in that little slot play that he came out in the middle of the field. All he had to do was catch it. And McKinley Brown dropped it in the breadbasket after stepping up in the pocket right there.
And it was a little faked, you know, like it was going to be a wide receiver or a bubble screen. And it looked like it was going, you know, and that drew those defenders up. And then Trevor just made a nice, beautiful post pattern. It was a simple post pattern. And then, beat his man.
And then how huge is that two-point conversion right there? McKinley Brown takes a snap, dumps it to his center across the middle of the field. They couldn't do anything with it. 8 points that quick in a position that you don't see touchdowns very often, fourth and 23. So Pisgah set to kick it back off. We'll get some defense going here again and try to head in this locker room with some action here. Fumbled on the play. It's on the turf. Pisgah's got a chance. Do they have it at the 24-yard line? I think Hickory has recovered it, but he bobbled it. Finally picked it up at the last moment right here. And now we see some talking back and forth, but almost had a chance to get the football back again with 3:14 left to go in the second quarter.
We find out about Hickory right now. They're having trouble defending the pass, but they don't like to be hit. And boy, when that ball was bobbled, they came in and, I mean, they put some shots on Linebarger's body, and they don't like to be hit like this.
14-14 is the score here. Hickory football from the 23-yard line. They're 23, moving from right to left in front of us towards the south end zone. Two receivers right. Here's a snap. The quarterback will keep and move straight ahead out across the 30-yard line. They'll give him the 30-and-a-half, so he picks up about 6-and-a-half. It'll be second down and short.
Now, Crawford in the backfield? Do they got another quarterback?
That's a quarterback keeper.
Yeah.
2:53 and counting. 14-14 again is the score here. Two receivers out to the right side. Heavy up front. They'll go I again from the left hash mark, the 30-yard line. They'll hand to the tailback. He skips out of one man, skips out of two tackles, and will be brought down after crossing the stick marker at the 35-yard line. So it'll be a first down coming up from the Tornadoes here as they try to go back to the running game after maybe abandoning the throwing that they did the last couple of series.
T.C. Geyer and Lucas Clark are from Southside Discount. Keep it going, Bears. And boy, T.C. and Lucas, they have done that. They have just turned this football game around, and they do. They have to keep it going.
Two receivers right side. A turnover here would be huge. Back to pass, rolls out of it, steps up, throws. It's going to be incomplete and almost picked off right there. Went right through the hands of the receiver. He heard footsteps and dropped it. And we almost picked it up at the 45-yard line. It'll be second down and 10. Clock stops after the incomplete pass at 2:16 here in the second quarter.
Boy, that big, tall wide receiver missed that pass. And when it went off his hands, Vadre Crouch has come in and just came in and just cleaned his clock. And then what do you do after that? You help the guy up.
I'm not sensing that Hickory's playing with a lot of urgency in this drive right here. Timeout. It's either official timeout or official timeout. So they'll wind it and go back at it from the 35-yard line. Second down and 10 for Hickory in their territory. 2:11 and counting here. Wide receivers both to the right. And they'll pitch off to the left side. Sips out of one tackle, not two. He'll go down at the 38-yard line. He only picked up two, Chuck. It's third down and long for the Tornadoes.
Boy, I tell you what, he gets bottled up and they get his legs, but Linebarger will refuse to go down. And because of that he's, while he's up and battling, there's three and four other Black Bears coming in and taking shots at him.
Folks, this is a huge play, and I'll tell you why. If we pin him right here and force him to punt, maybe not enough time for us to score, but that keeps them from finding a way to take a lead here going into the locker room. Pisgah with a lot of momentum as it stands right now with the football coming back to us to start the second half. Two receivers right on third down. Play action. Looking. Here comes the pressure. He steps up in the pocket and goes down at the line of scrimmage. It's fourth down and they have to punt it away. It's three and out. Pisgah wants a timeout and they want it now.
Cheryl Rappel went low and Colton Shuler went high and boy, Crawford went down.
Last timeout for the half for the Black Bears. So the Tornadoes will have to punt it away here on 4th and 8. Clock stops with 1:13. The Black Bears would like an opportunity to see what they could do with it, either with a return and a score, field goal, who knows. But they're going to have to punt it from the 37-yard line. And don't forget, we've already blocked one punt tonight.
Exactly.
Piedmont leads Tuscola 17-7 now, and that should be, if not halftime, very close to it. Again, at halftime, Tim will get you caught up on all the scores that are relevant to us both regionally and in terms of the 3-8 West bracket. He's been keeping an eye on those. He does a terrific job at going and finding all these out-of-town scores that are difficult to find. So he'll keep you up to date and let you know what's relevant at halftime when he brings that message to everybody. Here's a snap. They do get the punt away. High knuckleball, fair called for at the 30. Jesse Anderson makes the catch. And a flag comes in, and there's going to be a personal foul coming up against Hickory for a push and a shove. So that's going to bring us out to the 45-yard line. They give us 15 right there.
Yeah, and that was just a dumb penalty by the Hickory defender on Jeff Henson. Henson came up for one time. Henson come up and goes, are you going to throw this flag? And that official was trying to. He was getting in and couldn't get that flag out in time.
We might have baited them into that deal. And it worked. So the 30-yard line is a spot after the fair called for by Anderson. They're going to tack on 15 more. So that brings us out to the 45-yard line, Chuck, with 107 left. Plenty of time to get something done here. The only drawback is you're out of timeouts.
A bounce in the step of Pisgah, flat, and the daubers are hanging right now out of Hickory. It's like they don't know what hit them.
Chuck, in the last few minutes, something else I've noticed right here in terms of the weather, the fog is really kind of settling in right now, and visibilities are becoming more and more difficult. A lot of, again, continue with light rain, a little bit of wind now out of the north. Conditions continue to not be really good, and when you're talking about a team that doesn't like to get hit, the weather certainly helps us right there.
Keep pounding on them, keep pounding on them.
Two receivers right, two to the left side again. One set, again, operating out of the shotgun. Takes a snap. Steps up in the pocket. Pump fake. Steps up again. Now loads up and throws deep downfield. It's in the air. It's going to be incomplete. In the double coverage right there. The ball was thrown behind him. McKinley couldn't get enough on it right there. Falls incomplete. It'll be second down and 10 with 58.2 left from the 45-yard line of the Black Bears.
McKinley got bottled up in that pocket and then moved his feet and got reset, but then all of a sudden, and he couldn't get his, get a push on that pass, and it was underthrown, but Jesse Anderson almost came back with two defenders draped all over him and made that catch, but the moment he hit his hand, those two Hickory defenders, laid him out.
A flag was on the play, too, an ineligible receiver downfield, so that'll back up Pisgah 5 yards. Not a huge penalty in this situation, though. It'll be second down, and check that first down at 15. They'll replay the down. And we'll talk about this at halftime, Chuck, but we were a football team in danger, very close to going down 21-0. We've tied this football game up, clearly got the momentum back.
And confidence.
Time to throw. He'll step up. Now shovel pass, and it's caught. And he'll get out for about a 9-yard pickup, and a flag comes in very late in the backfield. Is this going to be a late hit? Is it going to be a hold? We'll see. The clock will stop to get the call. He picked up not on that shovel pass to Martinez, who's a little gimpy right here.
Illegal forward pass. He was across the line of scrimmage.
All right, so that'll come back. Martinez made a nice catch and a nice run. It'll go for naught off that flag. He might have got a little hip stinger right there, perhaps, as they might have took a helmet hit on that hip. Nothing structural right there. He'll be fine. 46.9 seconds left. This penalty will back us up to the 35-yard line, so we've got to get across midfield into the 45.
We got plays for this.
At least, yeah, to get the first down, though. It's second down and 20. Still plenty of time on the clock. 46.9 seconds. Trips to the right side. One receiver split to the left side. Again, shotgun. Snap, back to pass. Wants to set up a screen and does, and it's caught. Jesse Anderson makes a nice move there. Gets a little bit of a lock, and it'll be forced out of bounds at the 40. So he picks up about 5 yards and stops the clock. It'll be third down and 15 with 37.4 left.
Anderson coming on that bubble screen that came all the way into the middle. What Hickory's doing right now is they're rushing four of the down linemen and blitzing one linebacker on every play, and most of it's coming from the wide boundary.
Brett Chappell and company very good at making adjustments at halftime. We'll see what they see tonight. Two receivers out either side now. Third down and 15. Back to pass. Looking, steps up, throws it across the middle of the field. It's going to be picked. No, incomplete. He would have picked that off very easily, and it would have been in the hands of their best athlete had he done that.
Jesse was not even looking for the ball. Jesse,
that was a strange play.
Yeah, you're running the route, and you got to be looking for the ball that's coming to you. And Jesse's just running the route
downfield. I'm afraid that he could have scored right there if he'd have picked that off, and that would have been a terrible situation. All right, so it's fourth down, and we're going to have to punt it away here with 31.6 seconds left. The bad thing is that the clock stopped right there on the incompletion. Hickory's got one timeout left. Here's the snap. Runs towards the right side, and they get the kickoff. It'll take a hop up in the air, take a nice little roll for Pisgah inside the 20, and now down at the 18-yard line. And they'll stop the clock with 18.4 seconds left and one timeout for Hickory here before halftime. 14-14 is your score. Pisgah was down 14-0, in danger of going down 21-0, and have come back to tie this football game. Again, the Black Bears will receive the football to start the second half.
And that's what you're looking at is, look, okay, guys, you know, let's not get too crazy on this. Let's punt the ball. But, you know, the fact is that we couldn't try and score that go-ahead touchdown late here in the second quarter, we know we're going to get that football to start the third quarter.
Hickory probably not going to do a whole lot of fancy right here, I'd imagine, back here inside the 20. We'll see. They won't. They hand it straight ahead, tackled at the 20-yard line. And I'm going to tell you something. You got 2 yards right there, but you're still getting a pound on him a little bit right there.
They're
that
pounding.
Certainly helps.
They're pounding.
And I'm sure that was a point that you wanted to bring up before this game even began, is to hit and hit and hit and wear them down over time. And in terms of backs like that, maybe that's something that we'll be able to capitalize on in the second half. They will not run another play, and we'll go to the half as we're looking downfield right here, with the officials having a conversation with one of our players, and we'll see what's going on. I don't see any flags on the play. I don't know what's being discussed. We'll hang on right here for just a moment before we go to halftime. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. There are no flags. And the officials continue to fuss at some of our assistant coaches. Everybody goes to the locker room. And we'll go ahead and go to the locker room without any further incident that I can be sure of. So at halftime, it's Pisgah 14 and it's Hickory 14. We'll be back in just a moment with some stats from the first half. Rhonda Bird will catch you up to date on all the things that are going on at Pisgah right now, especially the winter sports that are about to begin here. And then Tim will have the scoreboard for you as well, let you know about the games around the area and certainly about those important games in the 3A West bracket as well. WPTL Radio, the voice of the Black Bears.
Jukebox Junction, backing the Bears. Jukebox Junction Restaurant and Soda Shop is open for breakfast from 7 a.m. From hearty morning fare through lunch and dinner, including daily specials, the Jukebox will feed your family well. Jukebox handles your sweet tooth with ice cream, sundaes, sodas, and shakes. Call to reserve their private room for up to 40. Jukebox Junction, Highway 276 at Bethel Red Light. Also open Sunday from 8:30 till 3.
When you need flowers, turn to your friends at Sellers Florist, your hometown florist at 98 Main Street in downtown Canton. For when you need to say something special, Sellers Florist can fill your needs from fresh flowers to silk and more. And they're an FTD florist as well. Also, they invite you to call early and place your orders for your holiday centerpieces soon. Call early now at 648-7180. Sellers Florist, Main Street, downtown Canton.
Black Bear football continues here on AM 920 WPTL.
Chad Upton, Rhonda Burr, Chuck Fiebernitz here from the stadium tonight. Tim Hodges across the river at our Pisgah Drive studio at WPTL. Pisgah finds a way to make it happen in the second half to come back and tie this football game. And when you look ahead at the potentials for the second half, I think that if you look at everything that you know right now about what's taking place, and you had to pick a winner of this football game, I think you got to pick Pisgah, because I think that we're going to make some adjustments at halftime that'll benefit us. I think that we've been able to hit on their running back over time, and we've seen the production tail off dramatically in what they've been able to do on offense here in the second quarter. And then we've got some momentum back, too, and I think that that's going to play out for us.
Last four series for Hickory, no first downs. They have bottled linebacker up. They have frustrated Crawford, their quarterback.
And he's not going to be a guy that's going to beat you in the air, I don't think.
Right. And I mean, we're looking at the first, you know, the first two series they had, we're thinking, oh, goodness gracious, man, this is not going to work. We can't catch this guy.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about going out here necessarily and wearing them out. I'm just telling you that I think we've got a bit of an advantage right now. We just need to capitalize on it.
Yes.
Now,
absolutely.
And that means that we've got to do smart things and not turn the ball over, not get dumb penalties. But we've done a good job of that so far tonight. And I'll go back to a play that we need to point out from the first half that we've probably already both forgotten about, and that's that blocked punt.
Oh, absolutely. That gave us that momentum. Then we converted into 6 points and got ourselves back into this football game. And this right now, this is what you want in your opening round against an opponent that is really a much, much better and should be a higher seed than 13 in Hickory. This is a defensive affair. Total offensive yards for the Black Bears, 87. 80 passing, 7 rushing, where Hickory has 96 yards in total offense, 90 rushing, 6 passing. So I'm telling you, and it's what we said in the pregame, during the pregame show, is that Hickory's going to do this by the run and Pittsburgh's going to do it by the pass. And right now, the best man that I've ever seen at halftime
right.
making adjustments is in there making the adjustments he needs to make to go ahead. And right now, Hickory, we'll see what Hickory does to try and convert, because right now they have a non-existing passing.
You say this a lot, and it's a good point. You talk about that Dauber's down. Dauber's down on that other sideline right now.
Yeah, you've made a long trip up here, and everything started
exactly.
to go, and then all of a sudden they're doing things on the field. You know, Hickory, I'm talking from Hickory's standpoint, is that the coaches needed to call a timeout because they had no answer for that zone read inside fake and then thrown to the wide receiver standing out there right at the line of scrimmage. He wasn't even running around. He was waiting to get them all sucked in, and then he's wide open. So they got to figure out that play, and then what Chapel's going to do when he ran that play after they called the timeout, he's going to see how they went and defended and then how he's going to attack that. He's also going to see where the weaknesses are, who's not doing what they are supposed to be doing for Hickory in the secondary, and he's going to find that weak link and he's going to exploit it in the second half. It's if the Pisgah defense, the way they played in the second half of the first half, in that second quarter, if they can come out and keep just pounding that body, pretty soon that head of Hickory is going to follow. They're going to cut the head off, and that will to play. You know, look, you've come a long way to get pounded and beaten up. Right now we're seeing linebacker non-existent with the running game. He's been hit by 3, 4, and 5 Black Bears. This is a good adjustment that Pisgah made on the field. I'm excited to see what they'll do in the second half, and we get that football back.
When you're talking about the stat sheet right now, Chuck, you're talking about a tale of two quarters right now for both teams.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I mean, you've got 87 yards on the ground, you know, and it's been pretty much, for the most part, a clean half. I mean, there's been a little squabbles out there, and a couple flags been thrown. And, you know, Brown is 8 for 14 for 77 yards for 80 yards. And
again, the bulk and the majority of that's come in that second quarter.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're just not being able to run
right,
the football.
Right.
So, I mean, look, let's not beat our head against the wall. If we can't run it, don't run it.
Yeah.
This is playoffs. This season ends when you lose. So, you know, you keep your season going. This 5-game season for some team out there that, you know, you just do what you do. We've come to the point where, you know, if they're playing the pass, then let them play the pass, because we're going to do this. We're going to throw the football against them.
Certainly. Exciting game so far tonight. 14-14 is the score here. While I've got a moment, again, I want to mention and say hello to one of my teachers, and then also a Pisgah alumni teaches for me over at Woodfin, Michelle Lawless, into the game tonight. Hope she's enjoying the game. Hope we can get a win for all the alumni tonight, including her. But there's a lot of scores for us to think about and talk about, too. We're talking about just in the area. Those are important as well, and people are interested in those. But there's a lot of games that we've got to focus on down the road in terms of 3A, too. And that High Brighton score is one of those. Tim, you've got those scores for us tonight. What do you have so far, buddy?
Okay, Chad, thanks. First, we're going to run you through some of the scores around the mountains, and then we'll take you into those Western 3A championship games tonight, or playoff games, I should say. First, around the mountains, Irwin this hour leads Ashbrook 14-7. It's Asheville leading Cuthbertson 13-7. Reynolds over Sun Valley 21-7 right now. North Davidson over Roberson 49-14. Piedmont leads Tuscola at halftime 17-7. In 2AA action tonight, Franklin over Parkwood, 7-0. And you may have heard already that Smoky Mountain Forest Hills game was a forfeit. Smoky Mountain season's being deleted from the books due to having an ineligible player on the roster. So it's all over for Smoky Mountain for the season. In 2A action, Polk leads Madison 20-0. Reedsville over Hendersonville 20-0. It's Brevard and North Wilkes tied up at 7. Mountain Heritage going down to Shelby currently 31-0. No score in the Owen Mount Pleasant game so far. No score in the Swain East Wilkes game either. This in 1AA action. Bessemer City leads Avery 14-7. Star Mountain Mitchell are deadlocked at 7 apiece. It's Murphy 14, Rosman 6. Thomas Jefferson leads Andrews 9-6. No score yet in the Robbinsville-Hayesville game. And some of the 3A West games of interest we're keeping an eye on tonight. Morgantown Freedom leads East Rowan 27-0. It's Forest View 35, China Grove Carson 21 at halftime. Iberton 21, Morganton Patton 0. West Rowan and South Point are tied at 7. And that's your look at the Friday Night Football scoreboard here on AM 920 WPTL. Coming up in just a moment, Rhonda Bird with her Pisgah update about all things Pisgah as far as winter sports are concerned. So we'll return right after these words here on AM 920 WPTL.
How about them black bars? Fat Buddy's Ribs and Barbecue proud our team. To win in this game, it takes speed, strength, and the right game plan. For winning barbecue, it takes slow cooking, the right sauces, and attention to detail. Whether for the game, a to-go box, or to get together later on, come to Fat Buddy's Ribs and Barbecue, Waynesville Plaza, where the food's so good it'll make you squoil.
I'm Rachel, member of Champion Credit Union. I want to be part of a credit union that serves its community. A credit union that in just 1 year gave over $100,000 to schools, youth programs, and other community projects. Someday, my daughters may be student athletes, and I can say that my credit union helps them succeed.
I'm Jake Robinson, project manager with Champion Credit Union. We let our members tell our story because our members are who we are.
Federally insured by NCUA.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Call 648-2632 for Patton, Morgan, and Clark Insurance Agency.
When you combine two cups of comfort food with a heaping cup of local character, you've got Sid's on Main in downtown Canton, serving delicious food just the way you like it in a cozy atmosphere. Sid's on Main is proud to support the Pisgah Bears, and they remind you they're open late after all home games, serving a late night menu. Also, book your holiday party early. We have accommodations for groups of 10 to 200. Sid's on Main, 117 Main Street, Canton. Phone 492-0618.
Now back to the stadium. Here's Chad Upton and Chuck Fiebernetz on WPTL.
Welcome back to Canton, North Carolina and Memorial Stadium. We have an exciting first round 3A West playoff game on our hands. It's halftime, 14-14, between the Hickory Red Tornadoes and the Pisgah Black Bears. And Rhonda, I mean, what it started off like it was.
It started off bad. I was sitting in there going, "Oh Lord, oh Lord!"
But they rallied and they came back.
And I agree with Chad. The block punt fueled them, and they actually, from that point on, ignited the offense, and the offense started going. So you know, it always takes a play to spark you.
Well, and that's true. So. And we've got our weekly segment with Rhonda Bird, what's happening in the Pisgah Nation. And Rhonda,
it's kind of slow right now. But it's getting ready to crank up.
I bet you the winter sports are cranking up.
Ready to go. Well, first of all, we're going to talk about basketball. We've got a big Inca Jamboree this weekend, tomorrow. And each team is playing five games. The girls will play five, and the boys will play five.
Is that a scrimmage, or is that real?
It's a scrimmage. Okay. It's not going to count. And everybody get your pads down and pencils. We're going to write these down. At 10 o'clock, the Asheville girls, the Pisgah girls will play Asheville School at the Asheville boys' school gym, you know, where the old boys' school is. Then they will play at 11:30. They will play Owen at the same place in gym number 2. 1:45, Swain plays Pisgah at Inca Gym. Then at 3:15, Pisgah girls play Irwin at the Inca Gym. And then at 4:45, Inca and Pisgah play at the Pisgah Middle School Gym. That's all girls. Now, boys, 10:45, the boys will play Asheville School. And that is at the Asheville Boys School Gym. At 12:15, Pisgah boys will play Owen. At 2:30, the Pisgah boys will play RS Central at the Middle School Gym. Then at 4 o'clock, ACR will play Pisgah, which is AC Reynolds, at the Asheville Boys School Gym. 5:30, Irwin will play Pisgah then. So it's a big test for Pisgah to see. That's 5 games. That's going to be tough in one day. So I'm really excited about the girls and the boys. They had their scrimmage in Cherokee last week, and the coaches, both coaches, said they were very pleased with how it turned out. And so I'm excited. Remember that I'll be calling Pisgah this year. So, you know, I hope everybody listens to me and gives me some encouragement and stuff. November 19th, we're having the benefit at Fat Buddies. Going to do a live remote to raise money for the basketball team to send them to the KSA tournament down in Florida. Everybody, all the Pisgah Nation, come out. We're raising money. Fat Buddies has really worked with us on this. 20% of the money that day will go to Pisgah's basketball programs to get them to Florida. We need all the Pisgah Nation out there to rally behind these kids. We're less than $10,000 from our goal. So they have been raising money like crazy. It's costing us $48,000 to send both teams to Florida. We're less than $10,000 from our goal. So, folks, anything you can do, if you want to make a donation, go to Coach Hallway, Coach Crook, make a donation. One other thing, too. I checked on my boy Houston Rogers this week. I went to Rogers, and I want to say howdy to Buddy Rogers. Nice talking to you. Love talking to you. Sorry I missed Brandon, but Houston's, he's doing good. He's going to be okay. It's just a little something he has to heal from. So that's mainly what I wanted to check on. But I wanted to give a shout out to my mom, who's home with a broken leg. So she's at home listening, and you know, mom get better fast. You know, this guy's at Southeastern taking care of everybody here. Dr. Molly did a good job of taking care of mom, so I appreciate that. And David Jones, lifelong Pisgah buddy, never misses a game. I mean, softball, basketball, football, he's always there. He's at home. Come on, Mr. Jones. You got to man up. We got to need you down here. And I want to give him a shout out. He's my buddy. I'm telling you, Mr. Jones is.
You know, I met today at Ingles one of my all-time favorite fans, Pisgah fan, Randy, your brother's cousin, Lori Cope.
Yep.
And she said, I listen to you every Friday. And I said, girl, I'm going to say that for you. She loves Chad Upton and myself. And I just said, well, I'm going to get you a shout out right there, girl. So, you know, she's listening from Dutch Cove, and
she is a
wonderful fan. And I love, I go to Ingles just to see her. She's just so wonderful, though.
Yeah.
You know, we got a lot of fans that listen
out there. Yeah. They listen.
So but you're gonna hook it up. If we keep going, you're gonna get some more stuff for us.
Yeah,
right?
Wrestling. I meant to mention wrestling. Coach Gibson is really tickled about his wrestling team this year. He only lost 3 to graduation. Has 12 starters returning. He's gonna be really deep into 132 to 160 weight class. But right now he had a scrimmage the other night at Owen, but he only had 10 wrestlers because 20 of them are on the football team. So 20 of his guys are playing football still, and he said, they didn't go really. But let me tell you this, state rankings, Drew Singleton, 113 class, is 9th in the state. Kyle Terrell, 220, is 7th in the state.
Football player.
Cody Lamb, 285, is 2nd in the state.
Football player.
2nd in the state, and he didn't wrestle until last year and halfway through the season. Serious, this kid's got it. Jeff Henson, 126, is 8th in the state. So you got some really good wrestlers here, and I'm telling you, they're going to be really good.
Well, Rhonda, we appreciate it, and hopefully we'll be back next week for another segment of Rhonda Bird, What's Happening in Pisgah Nation. Thanks, Rhonda, we appreciate it. When we come back, we'll have Chad's call of the second half here at Memorial Stadium right now, score tied at 14. We'll be back after these messages.
Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it, anything under the sun. Guns and tools and diamond rings, guitars and electronic things. They got just about everything at Carolina Pawn and Gun. Now, if you need some cash, there ain't no doubt Uncle Sam ain't gonna bail you out. Come see the folks at Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it, get on over there, son.
proud sponsors of the Pisgah Bears.
Burger King in Canton at I-40 Exit 31 is proud to back the Pisgah Bears. Go support the team at every game you can. And when you can't, listen to WPTL. And just remember, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose.
No.
Just as long as you have your Whopper after the game. Join them at Burger King in Canton, I-40 Exit 31 for a Whopper. Because when you have it your way, it just tastes better.
Athletics were a big part of my life. About any sport, you name it, I played it. Too many years of wear and tear eventually caught up to me. I knew I had to see somebody to take care of the problem. Southeastern Sports Medicine was a no-brainer for me.
Southeastern Sports Medicine, providing full-service orthopedic care at five convenient locations and weekday walk-in injury clinics. Visit sesportsmed.com or click the banner to learn more.
Seasons change, each bringing different needs and requirements. Financial institutions change due to technology, customer requests, and government mandates. One thing that will never change at WNC Community Credit Union is the commitment to customer satisfaction. Try them out. You won't be disappointed, ever. WNC Community Credit Union, 27 Kent Lane in West Waynesville. Not for profit, not for charity, but for service. Insured by the NCUA. AM 920 is WPTL Canton.
You're listening to Black Bear Football on AM 920 WPTL.
Chad Upton and Chuck Fiebernitz here from the stadium, just underway here. In the second half, Pisgah football. Vadre Crouch returns the kick to the 27-yard line. That's where Pisgah sets up shop now. They'll go back on offense. Tied at 14. After mounting a fine comeback there in the later stages of the first half. A lot of football left to play. An exciting one here from the stadium tonight. They'll go two receivers to the right side, two to the left side. With one set man. Here's a snap, and it'll be McKinley carrying out to the outside. Tries to get some blocks, finds his way to move forward, and picks up positive yards out about 6 yards, really. So a nice gain there. It'll be a second down and about a four play coming up. Pisgah needs the 37-yard line to convert, 36.5-yard line to convert a first down right here. Again, caught you up at halftime with the scores from 3A football and around the region as well. We'll continue to keep our eye on those. And again, the winner of this game tonight will play the winner of that High Brighton game. High Brighton leading that one last time we checked. Here's a snap and a give to Vadre ahead for about 2.5. A third down and two play now coming up for the Black Bears, running it twice now.
Go Bears, get them. Dylan Connie, Canton, North Carolina.
Big third down play right here on offense. It's third and two. Two receivers right, two to the left. Pisgah has not thrown it yet in the second half. Here's a snap. They'll try it this time. Fires to the left side. It's caught at the 40-yard line and good enough for another first down for the Big Black.
Oh, that was a nice route. All that was just hooking up past the line of scrimmage. Everybody was doing all hitch patterns and that, you know, that they're going to dink and dunk it.
The side judge down here on the near side, Chuck, waved his hands like it had hit the turf. That was a weird thing to see. Pisgah gets the first down at the 40-yard line. Two receivers to the right side, one to the left. Here's a snap. McKinley's going to keep and run ahead. McKinley, good yards again out across the 45-yard line, moving the football. It's second and four.
What is happening is Hickory's adjustment is they're really taking the defensive tackles and bowing out, worried about the containment and the outside, and Pisgah is trapping those tackles and coming up inside, picking, and it's not big play, but I mean, they're just getting enough push to get up 4 and 5 yards of play.
45-yard line to spot. Two receivers right, one left. Takes a snap, fakes the pitch, he'll keep, and he'll pick up a yard. It'll be third down and short again. McKinley Brown keeping it on two consecutive plays. Forest View and Carson tied at 35. Ashbrook and Irwin tied at 14. As Hickory rotates some new defensive guys in there. They got a big kid up front right there. That number 75. He is a large young man. Here's a little swing pass to the left side, and it's going to be caught. And they're going to give him the mark, Chuck, across the first down yardage right there. Looked like he was bobbling it. And I was afraid they're going to mark it back here, but they're not. They're going to give us the first down across midfield.
Well, his forward progress was properly marked. When I didn't see the bobble, I agree. Yeah. If he's bobbling it, then that's where the play he ends up.
It might have been just maybe I saw his head move or something like that. I'm not going to fuss and argue. We'll take that first down across midfield now. Pisgah, two consecutive third down conversions right there. Those are big. Two receivers to the right, two to the left, one set man. That's Vadre. They'll operate from the left hash. Swings one out here. It's going to be tipped and incomplete, and they jump that route pretty dangerously as they try to swing it out again to Trevor Johnson, but it's incomplete. It'll be second and 10.
Misread by McKinley. Yeah. He let the bench know. Listening from Radcliffe Cove, North Carolina, go Big Black. Chad is going to have a heart attack. You heard it here first. Ha ha.
If I do, let's
he's
win
not going to have a heart attack.
Second down and 10 from the 49. Play action again. He's got time. Throws it over the middle. It's incomplete. Looking for a flag and doesn't get one. As it was Anderson cutting across through the middle. It'll be third down and 10. He kind of short-armed that one a little bit and had it high.
Well, Anderson has got to get – Jesse just is – you know, they're not going to let you run the route uncontested. You're going to have to fight off that man coverage, and Jesse was just lazy on his route, and he couldn't get the man off, and McKinley just threw it out over his head.
Pisgah has converted two third downs so far in this drive. We need another one. Third and 10, 8:57, third quarter, tied at 14 from the 49-yard line. Of Hickory takes the snap, back to pass, two-step drop, pocket collapses, throws middle of the field. It is incomplete, intended for Hunter, just out of his reach at the 20-yard line. The Black Bears will punt it away.
He's got small pockets to throw to. Very good adjustment out of the Hickory defenders as they're getting in the face, and they're playing very tough and tight man coverage. So McKinley does not have a lot of room to throw the ball. There's not a big window. But guys like Jesse Anderson have got to run better routes in order to help this quarterback.
Right, get that separation. Jesse Anderson on to punt it away from midfield. Could set up a good position for us defensively here with a good punt. Runs away from it here. Now gets the kick off. Short legs it a little bit, but it should take a good Pisgah hop. No, it jumps sideways, but it'll bound and be dead at the 10-yard line. So it did work out well. 40 yards is the net. 8:39, 14-14. Back in a moment. WPTL, the voice of the Black Bears.
American Pawn and Pickers, and we do the picking. Go to the grinning. Mind selling, trading, and loaning money too. You can bring it to us, or we will come to you. Antiques, guns, and guitars, and diamond rings. We will loan you money, or buy most anything. American Pawn and Pickers, when we do the picking, you'll do the grinning. 1116 Patton Avenue. Y'all come see us now, you hear?
Your home for Pisgah sports is AM 920. Now back to the gridiron. Here's Chad and Chuck.
Bears back on defense from the 10. Quarterback draw. Skips out to the left side. Running room 15. 16. 20-yard line out of bounds. It'll be marked out for a first down at the 21-yard line.
Trevor Johnson, the outside man, lost contain to the wide side, allowing Crawford to get past him.
Yard line, the new spot, Hickory football. Still inside their territory, just outside the single stop. Defensive red zone, 8:31. Here in the second quarter. Two wide to the left, two to the right. One set. Again, they'll go back and operate shotgun. Wants to fire one out here, and it's caught. And ahead for a first down at the 31-yard line. We tried to jump that route, Chuck, and couldn't make it happen.
Yeah, just a little tardy on that was Jeff Henson. And I mean to tell you, if he would have jumped it, actually, that looks like Jesse Anderson. Excuse me, that is Jesse Anderson. Tried to jump it, was a little late. So right now, Jesse's got his left ankle taped up. But Jesse's going to have to put a little fire under his tail because he was a little lazy on that defense, and he had the previous offensive series, he ran some lazy routes.
31-yard line now. They'll try to run it in the middle. There's nothing there. They got a half yard, maybe just back to the line of scrimmage. Second down and 10 now from the 33.
Boy, I tell you what, Ricky Brindley dialed up an interior blitz with two backers, and linebacker was met right at the line of scrimmage. And they went low, and then a couple of them cleaned it up high, and linebacker this time didn't fight. I mean, he's been banged on this whole
game. He has, and I hope that that will play out well for us down the road here. Two wide to the right, two to the left. One set shotgun from the 33. It's second down and nine. 7:27 and counting here in the third quarter. We're all tied at 14. Pisgah was down 14-0 at one time. Here's a quarterback draw. Nothing there. Might have fumbled the football. No, he hung on, but there was nothing there. That closed up quickly. Now it's third and long for the Tornadoes.
The defensive line, the push by Cheryl Rathbone, Holty Underwood.
Holty.
That's my favorite nickname for him, Holty. Kyle Terrell, they're getting off. What they're doing is they're pushing back, but this time they're getting off and they're keeping their gap integrity. Once they have this gap, if you got responsible for this gap, you got to get in that gap quickly. And you got to hold down that fort and not get pushed out of it. And that's helping right now in that defensive front, stopping this running game.
Two receivers out of their side. That now one will go in motion from left to right, and Hickory has to call a timeout. That could play big.
Mm-hmm.
Third and eight. When we return, we'll take a timeout back across the river as well. 6:37 left to play in the third quarter. We're tied at 14. WPTL, the voice of the Black Bears.
Pisgah Tire. We're there when your tires are bare. Well, a different bear. Pisgah Tire in Canton is your authorized dealer for Cooper and Uniroyal tires, but Pisgah Tire is more than just a tire shop. Get state inspections, tune-ups, shocks and brakes, custom exhaust work, the most state-of-the-art laser alignment machine in the area, and the best employees around. We're there when your tires are bare. Pisgah Tire. Service, confidence, character. 21 New Clyde Highway across from Hardee's in Canton. Call 648-7974.
Back to Pisgah Black Bear Football here on AM 920 WPTL.
Our big black sponsor is Carolina Pawn and Gun, also by Southeastern Sports Medicine, Jukebox Junction, Martin's Drug, Sellers Forest, American Pawn and Picker, Singleton's Automotive, Hometown Hardware, Champion Credit Union, and the Pisgah Tire Company. Two receivers out to the right, to the left. It'll be third down and eight now after that timeout. Pisgah trying to figure out where they want to be defensively here, and they'll get settled. They'll operate again out of the shotgun with one set. Big play here. Here comes pressure from the backside. We're going to get him. Yes, we got him. Sack for a loss.
Vondre Crouch on a wide side boundary blitz. Just chased him down from behind and sacked him for that loss. That was great. That was a design quarterback draw to the outside. And Vondre just blew it up from behind.
Big play right there. Pisgah set to get the football back. In all likelihood, after this punt, is Jesse Anderson drops back to his 25-yard line. The Tornadoes will kick it from their 20. Here's a snap. Gets the kick off. Very short. It'll bound and take a sideways hop in favor of Pisgah now as it rolls back towards about the 39-yard line. That's where we'll set up shop in relatively good field position right here. We go on our second drive of the second half, tied at 14 with 5:54 left. Good defensive stop right there for Pisgah at the first one opportunity here in the second half. High Brighton leads Patton now 28-0. We will play the winner of that game. It's looking more increasingly likely that it'll be against High Brighton.
Defense has done an extremely good job, especially making Hickory one-dimensional. You know, they can run the football, but they're bottling up the run and doing a fantastic job, and give credit to Ricky Brindley for doing that, dialing up the proper blitzes. I mean, interior blitzes, boundary blitzes from the wide side. He's getting a little exotic on his defensive calls.
Receivers either side of the set, but close to the formation for the first time tonight. Here's a snap, and then we're going to give it across on some kind of a little sweep right there, and it works out pretty well. We fumbled it, but it goes out of bounds. They ripped it out at the 44-yard line, so he picks up 6.5 yards or so. It'll be second down.
Yeah, and he ripped it out of Jesse Anderson's hand. And again, Jesse just kind of nonchalant running with the ball, not taking care of the pigskin. Somebody's got to put Jesse, get him on, you know, sense of urgency. He may be with a bum ankle, but you cannot nonchalant this stuff.
Not at this time of year. Two wide either side. Forest View and Carson tied at 35. It's an 8-9 matchup in 3A. McKinley getting his signal from the sideline. On second down and about 4.5 He'll take the snap and he wants to throw underneath, and it's short and incomplete. So McKinley, a couple times tonight, has short-armed it. And the receiver down there looks like Jesse. No, it's Trevor Johnson, wanted a flag and didn't get it. So it'll be third down. That's the third or fourth throw maybe tonight that McKinley sort of short-armed a little bit and had time.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're putting a rush. You know, remember the outside linebackers? What they're doing is they're coming in the passing lane and putting a closing and collapsing that pocket where McKinley cannot really step up in there and make a nice throw.
Third down and five offensively. Two receivers left, one to the right side. Back to pass. A little bit of time. Rolls right. Throws. Caught. First down at the 50-yard line. And he'll go out of bounds, but Pisgah converts right there, Chuck.
I'll tell you what, and give Jesse Martinez, only a sophomore. Martinez has emerged as a go-to guy, steadily started off, you know, ran some, you know, got into the backfield, but suddenly, you know, Chapel started to recognize this kid can, is a weapon catching that football. Great hands, runs great routes, only a sophomore. A lot of big things for this kid in the future for Pisgah football.
49-yard line is a spot just on the inside of our territory here, moving from left to right towards, once again, the north end zone. Here's a snap. Play action. Throws. Caught. Hunter Watt falls down at the 42-yard line. He picked up a good 8.5. It's second and short.
Dinking and dunking. Dink, dunk. That's all they're doing. Little 5-6 yard hitch routes, finding pockets for McKinley. If they want to blitz, fine. Blitz. By the time you get to my quarterback, the ball's going to be gone. And they're setting something up coming up. They're going to look for those free and strong safeties to see if they start crowding the box.
Second and two. Quarterback keeper. First down and more. 35. Gets across the field. Gets a couple of blocks. Still on his feet, Chuck. And he won't go down until he gets to the 20.
Beautiful run by McKinley Brown. He started rolling, then cut across the middle of the field and got Linebarger on him. And Linebarger was trying to strip the ball, so it was just manning up. And McKinley said, fine, if you want to, I'm going to carry you for about another 10 yards.
Just on the outside of that hometown hardware red zone again. 2-3 wide to the right. Martinez splits way out here. Anderson far to the left by himself. This time we'll give to Vadre. Vadre's got running room, tripped up though at the 12-yard line. That hole closed up, but not before he picks up a good 7.5, 8 yards. Pisgah driving it right now.
Inside that red zone.
I don't think they thought he had it.
Well, we're sitting there trying to find the ball. McKinley Brown's reading it well, but is also making some tremendous fakes out there in the backfield.
Quickly to the line of scrimmage again. This time, McKinley will keep, and McKinley goes down. Not much yardage there. It'll be third down and short.
We're in position for a field goal right now and working the clock. We'd like the dagger. I believe a dagger right here would be a 6-point touchdown, we get up 7 points.
You think that makes a big difference?
I think that's
right
a big, because I'm watching Hickory right now. Their dobbers are down.
Yeah, three wide to the right side, one on the left side. Big play on third down. This time, play action looking, throws over the middle. It is going to be caught. He scores! Touchdown, Martinez!
That was a beautiful read by McKinley Brown. All it was to the wide side. They ran a combo double post, and he went to the backside guys. When the inside, which was Hunter White, cleared the safety, Martinez came in right in behind him, and that double post pattern was beautifully thrown and beautifully executed by the Pisgah offense.
It's 20-14. Dr. Fiebernitz ordered it. And the Black Bears just filled the prescription. 3:42 left to go here in the third quarter. Nathan Higdon on to try the extra point. Here's the snap, the spot down, and the kick is no good. He pulled it to the left. So 3:42 left to go in the game, but Pisgah now has their first lead tonight, up by 6. Back in just a moment, WPTL, the voice of the Black Bears.
You're right.
get back to the game with Chad Upton and Chuck Fiebernets on WPTL.
We come back out of the score, 3:42 in the third, with Pisgah leading by six. It's only tempered by that missed extra point again, pulled again to the left right there. And the two that he's missed tonight, Chuck, he's hit them fat.
Yeah.
So in other words, what I'm saying is he's hitting it, you know, I guess probably more in the middle of the football, which is causing it to knuckle out there and get pulled, as opposed to getting underneath a little bit to get something under it.
Well, he's breaking his up, you know, his lower body. You got to come strong through that ball, and when you do, you'll get that ball up.
Yeah.
But he's just kind of like he's pooching it.
Yeah, this time a short kick, and they'll field it and go down at the 37-yard line. So we'll see how this ends up.
But I'll tell you right now is that Chapel had a few words in his face coming off the field. He was not going to accept it, but he wants him to go to the screen and start working on it right now. He was not pleased with Nathan Higdon.
Nathan Higdon's got the leg, and he's done this enough now where, again, you've got to put that load on his shoulders because you know he can do it. Piedmont leads Tuscola now 17-10, so Tuscola kind of hanging around over there too. Back on defense at the 38-yard line. Two receivers to the left. We're up by six. They'll go I formation, moving from right to left in their territory. They'll pitch out to the right side. High-stepping, but nothing there. And we push him back. Nothing going down for that running back for Hickory. A lot of hitting going on right now. Second down and 10.
Well, and I tell you what, it's getting to the point where Hickory all of a sudden is starting to push. That play went inside the, you know, right in front of the Hickory bench.
I saw one of our players, you know, the little.
Oh, the feed me?
Yeah,
keep
I like
feeding
it.
Me?
High Brighton over Patton, 34-0. Again, we'll keep an eye on that game. That plays big.
And what happened was Hunter White was standing there and got pushed from behind from inside the bench.
Second and 10. They'll try to run it in the middle again, and they'll pick up 5 yards or so, maybe 4.5. It'll be third down and about 5.5 for Hickory now from the 42-yard line. And Hickory's got a player down, slow to get up, and he'll pop up one of their linemen, a little gimpy with that ankle. So a big defensive play coming up right here after the Pisgah score, trying to force Hickory into a 3-and-out on the next possession. God, it was a big touchdown down there, and he was open. Third down, 5.5. I set too wide to the left side. What is Hickory going to do? What's Pisgah going to do? And we jump off sides. Vadre Crouch.
Vadre trying to time it again and just didn't hold his wide. What it was is a fire blitz. He was coming inside the defensive end on the tackle gap, and that's what they call fire. And, you know, he was on a fire blitz, and he just come across that line. And, you know, Hickory was sitting there wondering, what the heck you doing?
All right, so now it's third down and about half the football length. Third and 5.5 a minute ago, now third down and a half. Too wide to the left, I set, now at the 48-yard line of Hickory. Quarterback will keep and try to forge ahead, and boy, I'm not sure he got it.
No, let's see where they spot it. If they spot it right there,
he's short.
It's going to be a measurement, and it'll be inches shy.
I'm pretty sure that he's short on this. Now, with that said, in this spot in the game, Hickory may would go for it here on fourth down, but he's short, Chuck. There's no doubt about it. They're going to measure it, but he is probably...
Half a football length?
No, he's a little more than that, Chuck. The football...
Oh, he's a yard short.
It's closer to a yard shy than it is a half a football.
Right. What do you do with Hickory right now?
I think you got to go. I think it's for them. They've got to go right here. I think this is the biggest play of the game for them, certainly, as they'll stretch the chains out here. And again, it's going to be about a little more than a football length shy, I believe. Got to get those chains untangled, and that's exactly what it is. About like the football. So they're going to go for it, I would imagine, and we'll see what it is they do. Now, Pisgah finds a way to stop them right here, as they did just then on that quarterback sneak. Boy, I tell you what, this is a big play right here for Hickory. This is a huge play for their effort. Hickory again, remember, 1:39 left to go in the third quarter. We're up by 6 points. Hickory has two timeouts. They burned one earlier in the quarter. Pisgah has their full complement of three. It's fourth down and a half yard or so here. Tornadoes will go eye set. As heavy as they can go. Pisgah loads up in the box, trying not to give up anything on the edge. Here's a snap, and they'll pitch it out to the outside, and he's hit, and he did not get it. He lost a yard. Pisgah gets the football back, a huge play defensively.
They win a toss sweep, and Pisgah sold out.
Wow.
Audrey Crouch came on that boundary blitz and blew it up, and Hunter White and Trevor Johnson cleaned the house.
I'm talking about bringing it right there. What a huge play defensively. A huge play in this football game. Pisgah goes back on offense at the 46-yard line and stops that drive.
Dr. Crouch made up for that one right there.
Jeepers.
On that play, he made
up. Some.
He forced him to go inside and not out, and they gave the ball to Linebarger. And I mean to tell you, White, Trevor Johnson, Cheryl Rathbone were right there to clean it up.
Now, you go down right here and score. I don't know what, I mean, never say never, but boy, I tell you what, you got to like your situation and your odds moving forward into the fourth quarter here. 1:19 left to go in the third. Pisgah up by six. They found a way to get the football back right there. He lost a yard.
But, you know, it's a different Linebarger from the first quarter to now because he's
been beat on him a little bit.
Oh, that's what you beat on that body.
Here's a man in motion. Here's a snap, and he wants to throw it downfield. Quarterback throws downfield. It's going to be incomplete, and flags come in.
Pass interference.
No doubt about it. That was a little pitch play, and it was a wide receiver throw downfield. I'm sorry I missed the call there, but flags came in, and that's certainly going to be a pass interference coming up against those Red Tornadoes. They set that up earlier in the game. When they just ran it and didn't try to throw.
Do you ever, I mean, you had a point where when the flags are thrown, you just kind of hold your breath going, I see it, it's against them. But are they really going to, you know, because usually with the line judge or the guy that throws the flag, he runs back to the official. You know, in this case, it's, you know, he's running back to tell him it's offensive pass interference.
So this foul is going to bring the football just outside of the red zone again, Chuck, that hometown hardware red zone at the 21-yard line.
If they put this...
No. I'm sorry.
If they put this dagger in right now...
31-yard line. I apologize.
And go up 27 to 14, you force Hickory to go to the air.
Three wide to the right.
This is an important drive right here.
One to the left from the 31-yard line on offense with the football. Here's a give to Vautre. He hits the line. He comes back out of it somehow. And makes something out of nothing. He bounced into the line. He shot back off of it. Swung around to the right side and picked up three that he shouldn't have.
This is just like watching Barry Sanders run
it
for
really
the Detroit
is.
Lions.
Tim, I mean, I'm sorry. Tim, I've got one more this quarter, correct? Second down and seven. Three wide to the right, one to the left. Here's the snap. And we'll give ahead. And it's Lucas Hall. Pounds his way inside the 25-yard line, Chuck, to the 24-yard line. It'll be third down and short.
And Coach
Chappell, you're in field goal range.
Down at the net, he's got Nathan Higdon working on his place kicking. I mean, he had what he had to say to him, and then he told him, go start working on that.
Don't forget to join Coach Chappell and me tomorrow morning for the Brett Chappell Show, 8 a.m. from the Jukebox. Already have a lot to talk about from tonight's game. As three wide receivers will go to the right side, one to the left side. Here's a snap. They had too many men on the field, and flags come in. And now here's McKinley Brown to the 10-yard line, first down coming up. They had too many men on the field, and flags came in. We'll decline it and take the natural way. Pisgah's going to have it at the 10-yard line, first down. The officials down there discussing it here is... We'll try to gather our players and figure out what's going on right here. They did not get a player. He came off late and snapped the football before he came off, so we'll see if there's anything else going on beyond that. It's the end of the third quarter as the clock has expired. We're waiting on the officials to sort this out. Third and three play from just a moment ago. It was too many men on the field for Hickory. Pisgah will certainly decline this penalty, Chuck, and take it first down and 10 at the 11-yard line to start the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the White half kind of motioning his hands like he's doing the, you know, the down real low going, are you going to decline this? We're going to decline it.
Pisgah leads it 20-14 as we head into an all-important fourth quarter with the football at the 11-yard line, driving it again against Hickory. Back after this 90-second timeout. This is AM 920 WPTL, the voice of Pisgah football.
How about them Black Bears? Fat Buddy's Ribs and Barbecue, proud of our team. To win in this game, it takes speed, strength, and the right game plan. For winning barbecue, it takes slow cooking, the right sauces, and attention to detail. Whether for the game, a to-go box, or to get together later on, come to Fat Buddy's Ribs and Barbecue, Waynesville Plaza, where the food's so good it'll make you squoil.
Welcome to Canton's newest auto repair service, Empire Automotive on Asheville Highway just east of Canton Hill. Stop getting ripped off on car repairs. Empire Automotive invites you to go in for a free estimate of your repairs. Experience and fair prices, that's Empire Automotive, serving all your auto repair needs across from the hotspot on Asheville Highway. Phone 492-1515 for Empire Automotive.
Every man needs a good pair of gloves. Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza has large, split leather, pile-lined gloves at $5.49 a pair. That'll do him. And if he has a shop, there's a Mr. Heater, 75,000 BTU forced air kerosene heater, doorbuster priced $199. They do layaway, make keys, and are introducing the new Dollar Central with kitchen tools, pet toys, treats, and more. Hometown Hardware, Canton Plaza on Radio Hill.
Now, WPTL's coverage of Black Bear football continues.
Back here at Pisgah Memorial Stadium here, underway here in the fourth quarter. Pisgah, two consecutive run plays for very short yardage. So it'll be quickly third down and 10 here. Just underway in the fourth quarter, 11-12 and counting. Pisgah up by 6 points. Scores here are at a premium. Pisgah certainly in field goal range right now, Chuck, though. The spot of the ball is on the far hash mark, so second down and 8. Pisgah can get a first down at about the 1.5 yard line right here.
They gotta get at least 3 out of this to go up 9 points, and that's 2 possessions for the Hickory Red Tornadoes, who so far, after scoring the first 2 touchdowns, haven't done anything offensively.
They have not. 3 wide receivers to the right side. 2 seconds on the play clock. Quickly, they come in and they have to call a timeout. So Pisgah takes 1 of 3 timeouts that they have available to them here in the second half.
Chapel did not like what the formation.
Well, and it was 3 seconds on the play clock,
right,
too.
And they kind of took their time getting up there.
Back in just a moment, WPTL, the voice of Pisgah football.
When you're in a jam and you're stuck on the side of the road with car problems, always remember WNC Towing. Phone 648-0777 for 24/7 roadside assistance, lockout service, and more. WNC Towing is ready to serve all of your towing needs. Call Billy Dover 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 648-0777. 648-0777. WNC Towing. We will get you going.
Now back to the stadium. Here's Chad Upton and Chuck Fiebernets on WPTL.
Kick off every football Friday with the Black Bear Cafe preview show, 6:30 to 7 right here all season long, sponsored exclusively by the Black Bear Cafe and Ice Cream Shop on Pisgah Drive. Third down and 9 for Pisgah at the 10-yard line of Hickory. Black Bears lead it by 6 here. 2 scores changes the complexion of this game, certainly. Here's the snap. Back to pass, looks to the left side, under pressure, lofts one up, and it's incomplete. No flags, it'll be fourth down. Threw it out of the back of the end zone. Make sure tomorrow morning you join us at 8 a.m. for the Brett Chapel Show. Live from the Jukebox Junction again, sponsored by Carolina Pawn and Gun, Hometown Hardware, Plus Linen and Uniform Service, Haywood Insurance Services, and Southeastern Sports Medicine. Nathan Higdon now on to try a field goal here. The spot is about the 10-yard line, so this is about, what, a 27-yard field goal attempt? Jesse Anderson comes off. He lost his helmet. So this would be about a 27-yard field goal attempt from the right hash. He's kicking towards the south uprights. Pisgah up by six. This would extend the lead to 9 points, making it a two-score game. As it stands now, it's only a one-score game here in the fourth quarter. High Brighton, 41-0 over Patton. Just minutes to go in that game, High Brighton will move on to the second round of the playoffs, as we expected. Nathan Higdon has had a hard time tonight. Missed two extra points. Pisgah was able to get one of those points back in a two-point conversion earlier in the first half. The tied at 14. Higdon certainly has the leg for these. We'll let you know. Snap. Spot down. Kick us away. Everything looks good. And it is good. Timeout on the field. Nathan Higdon gets it done. 10-20 in the fourth quarter. Pisgah's got that 9-point lead. 23-14. Back in a moment. WPTL, the voice of the Black Bears.
American Pawn and Pickers. And we do the picking. Go to the grinning. Buying, selling, trading, and loaning money too. You can bring it to us or we will come to you. Antiques, guns, and guitars, and diamond rings. We will loan you money or about buy most anything. American Pawn and Pickers, when we do the picking. You'll do the grinning. 1116 Patton Avenue. Y'all come see us now, you hear?
You're listening to Black Bear Football on AM 920 WPTL.
Again, the Brett Chappell Show tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. with Coach Chappell and me, Frank Bird as well. Carolina Pawn and Gun, Hometown Hardware Plus Linen and Uniform Service, Haywood Insurance Service, and Southeastern Sports Medicine, our fine sponsors on that tremendous program every single Saturday morning all season long. Edge of your seat game tonight. Black Bears lead at 23-14. Piedmont leads Tuscola now, 24-10. It looks like Piedmont will move on in all likelihood to the second round. Tuscola season will be complete. Here's Higdon's kick. Really short. It'll be fielded down at the 42-yard line. That was an interesting call right there, Chuck. That was a really short kick. As Hickory goes back on offense now in fairly decent field position. What do you think about that call?
Well, he just does not want... Look, the way their defense is playing, they're having trouble moving, you know, 20 or 30 yards.
You don't want to give up a huge return.
I do not want a touchdown return.
10-19 left here in the fourth quarter.
He said he will not allow that kid to return the ball.
Yeah, he has.
He means it. That's exactly right.
Make sure if you're listening to us and you hadn't let us know, you can text Chuck at 828-646-0626. Let us know where you're from. Quarterback draw straight ahead. Tries to get a little bit of running room, but not a lot. He does pick up about 6.5 to the 48-yard line. Hickory's 48-yard line. It'll be second down.
They've got to make every play contested. Fight for every yard. Make them contest for everything.
And let them pay a physical penalty as well.
Right, and move that clock.
Three wide to the right, to the left. Quarterback draw coming up. Snap. Here he goes. Straight ahead, and he's maybe a yard shy of the first down. When they empty that backfield, they're not going to throw it. They're going to run a quarterback draw. I think he might be a little bit shy here, and
I think
it's going to bring a third down play.
He is.
Pisgah's got to settle back in defensively here. Only up 9. It is a two-score lead, however. Carson leads Forest View now, 42-35. Three wide to the right, two to the left again. Wouldn't be surprised if they don't try to run it now. Hickory trying to get something figured out in terms of equipment down there on the front line of the Tornadoes. It's third down and one, though, Chuck. They spread out everybody out of the backfield. The quarterback's going to sneak it again. Snap, and there he goes. He dives underneath and just barely got it. It'll be first down and 10 from the 48.
They're going to have to measure this. No,
he dove underneath, and I think got it.
Yeah, by the foot, that's going to be a half a football length, but they may end up having to measure this.
Again, very important to know.
Yep, they got it.
Both teams with two timeouts remaining in the game. There's 9 minutes left. Pisgah's got a 9-point lead. After Nathan Higdon avenged a couple of missed extra points earlier. Three wide to the left, two to the right side, empty backfield again. 8 seconds on the play clock. Here's the snap. Back to pass. Here comes pressure. Tries to roll with it. Looks downfield. Throws. It's wide open and caught at the 32-yard line. Well enough for a first down. Right there as they mark him down at the 34.5-yard line. This is going to have to bow their back right here defensively.
Crawford just got away. I mean, there you had a boundary blitz coming right at him by Trevor Johnson. And, you know, he just escaped Johnson and had, you know, rolled out and had a lot of room.
Well, see this very much. Four wide receivers to the left side this time. He rolls out under pressure and he goes down a sack at the 39-yard line from the backside. We got him on both sides, really. And a huge play right there as that clock continues to roll and a huge sack at second long.
A 67-yard pass, touchdown pass for Tuscola. They are now behind with 7:10 remaining, but they cut that deficit to 24-17.
Final score, High Brighton beat Patton, shutout, 41-0. Patton is eliminated. High Brighton goes to the second round to play the winner of this game, either on the road here or at home against Hickory. Back to pass, looking middle of the field, floats one up there. It's going to be picked off, maybe, no, incomplete. Incomplete, almost picked off twice right there by Jesse Anderson and Jesse Martinez. It was tipped in the air by Jesse Anderson, who made a terrific play to knock it down, and then almost picked off the turf by, I believe, Jesse Martinez.
Christy Green and kids listening to this football game from Bethel. Kids, your Black Bears are winning.
It's
23-14.
Third down and 15. Ball spotted, 44-yard line of the Black Bears. Hickory's got to have the 24 for the first down, a huge play right here. I would imagine they would go for it either way. Two wide to the right, two, three to the left, empty backfield. Here's the snap, and he rolls to the left side. He wants to throw it downfield. Whistles. And who called the timeout?
I think we might have gotten a timeout. Ricky Brindley did not like the way his defense was aligned on there.
All right, so we'll take the timeout as well and settle it down for just a moment. Pisgah leading by 9 here at the stadium, getting late. WPTO, the voice of the Black Bears.
Ken Wilson Ford has been doing business locally for over 31 years, and they've earned Ford Motor Company's highest honor, the President's Award. Ken Wilson Ford wants to thank all customers for their loyal business and look forward to many more years to come. Customer satisfaction is the goal. Ken Wilson believes in treating people right. The professional staff offers best selection and deals every day without any additional dock fees and processing fees. Ken Wilson Ford in Canton, your number one source in Western North Carolina.
Your home for Pisgah sports is AM 920. Now back to the gridiron. Here's Chad and Chuck.
Third down and 14 coming up for Hickory still in this timeout. Couple more messages.
Yeah, Santa and Mrs. Claus from Canton, North Carolina are listening to the game. And I just want you to know, the fat man in the red suit, I want to train this. Don't be sticking me, some coal in my stomach.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Santa. My little boy, and he knows that we've got a really strong relationship. So, this is the time of year where he keeps on his toes. So
Jim Bob,
you and I
Harris
will keep that solid.
Jim Bob Harris listening from Canton, North Carolina, too.
Three receivers to the left side, two to the right side. They move one from left to right. Back to pass. Pump fakes. Still looking. Now he'll try to go for it. And he's got a lot of room to go, and he goes down out of bounds. He picks up a yard. It's fourth down and long for Hickory as the clock stops. Pisgah makes it happen on that play.
Colton Shuler Crawford pay the price. But here's the thing, is that it's the Vadre's crouch on that first down, play where he sacked the quarterback, put them in a bind. That makes them play from behind the chains, not even with the chains. They're playing from behind the chains now, and they're not equipped to do that.
A lot of fans on their feet. 7:25 left to go in this football game. We've got a 9-point lead here. It's fourth down and 13. From the 36-yard line, they've got to have the 24 to convert. Big play right here. Pisgah stops it. They get the football back. Three wide to the right, two to the left. Shotgun snap. Back to pass. Looking. Plenty of time. Now steps up in the pocket. He'll try to run for it. We've got to make something happen right there. And he'll go out of bounds close to the six.
He's short.
They'll mark him a yard shy. Pisgah football at the 30. Check that. 25-yard line going the other way. The big block makes it happen again on defense. Another fourth down stop. It was close, but we got it done.
Well, he was running out of room, and who was on his, like a heat-seeking missile right coming at him was Vadre Crouch. And Vadre dove ahead of him to make him, if he was going to go for that stick, he was going to collide with him. And he dove out of bounds a yard short. Vadre Crouch made that play.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, Vadre Crouch, I believe in my mind, has been a difference maker in this football game tonight.
Oh, he's spying. Ricky Brindley has dialed an exotic blitz. He brought in a spy. Vadre's in the middle of the field watching Crawford, the quarterback, going, okay, where you go, I'm going.
Let's go with the football. Here's the snap, and McKinley's got running room on the keeper. McKinley tries to get to the outside. He's a tough kid to bring down. He's got a first down across the 35-yard line to the 36-and-a-half. The Black Bears move the chains.
Santa Claus just sent me a text. Hello from the North Pole. Go Black Bears. Ho, 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 Santa. And wait a minute. There's nothing that says I'm getting that train. I've been getting
Santa. He knows. I'm just telling
you. What do you mean? He knows.
The only thing I know to tell you is that he knows. I'm just saying.
Then I'm not getting that train.
Tyrus Upton knows that he knows, too. Three wide to the left side. One to the left side as well. Three right, one left. Pisgah with a first down across the 35 to the 36-yard line. 6:48 and counting. Pisgah leads it by nine here. They've come all the way back. Vadre gets the carry. Vadre makes one man miss. And I'm going to tell you something about Vadre. That went a lot of yards right there. Not only does he make people miss, but he's not afraid to put his head down and see what he can do physically, too, after getting hit.
Actually, and that's true. And he took a two-yard loss and made it a two-yard gain. I mean, you know, that's a four-yard difference on a play that was just blown up by Hickory's defense. They're pinning their ears back coming on the run. You're going to run the football. But that clock is running also. And remember, Hickory needs two possessions
right
to get back into this football
game. And they don't have the ball now. Three wide to the right, one to the left. Pisgah scores here. That would probably just about do it. Here's the snap. Here's a little inside give to Vadre. Vadre off to the races. He's gone 50, 45, 40. 35-yard line, tackled at this 32. Another big play from Vadre Crouch this time on offense.
That was out of the spread, a counter. They started making it look like it was going left. Vadre came back and took it right up the middle, and Hickory they went to reach for him, and they were grabbing that
there.
Air.
He wasn't there. 34-yard line is the spot, a first down for the Big Black, Vadre Crouch. Wow. There's nothing about what's going on right now that you can't like if you bleed red and black.
Oh, yeah, they're in the huddle a long time. They break out of the huddle with 15 seconds to go on the play clock, and they're going to run it down to around 5 seconds.
Three wide to the right, one left from the 34-yard line, Hickory territory. We give it this time to Lucas, and he gets out to the 30-yard line. Hang on to that ball, son. Picks up four. It'll be second and six.
You look at Hickory right now. The sense out of Hickory is we're done.
Yeah, yeah.
Clock's
look at all
down.
The players far over here on the right sideline that are just completely out of touch with the game entirely.
They're thinking basketball right now. Mm.
And, you know, that's one of the things that we talked about the pregame, Chuck, is that hit and beat and bang on these kids and diminish their will, and I think we've done just that tonight.
I believe that late in the second quarter, the white flag of surrender, even though it was tied.
McKinley Brown takes a snap, tries to tuck it and run, still on his feet. Tough guy to bring down, not much, though, 30-yard line. It'll be third down and about 6, maybe 7 yards from right there. Clock continues to move at 4:37. Even if Pisgah does not score here, they will have certainly eaten up a good portion of this middle of the fourth quarter clock here.
Clock winding right now at 4:25, Chad. And Pisgah just taking their... their time getting up to the line.
First down right here on third would be huge. Three wide to the right, one to the left side. McKinley takes the snap. He'll play action pass over the middle. It's caught. First down and more. Still on his feet, and he'll go down. They'll mark him down at the 18-yard line. First down for the Big Black. Another huge third down conversion on offense.
McKinley Brown to his main man, Hunter White. On a deep slant pattern, and it was wide open. They were saying, like, if you're going to play the run like that and bring up 9 and 10 guys in the box, we're going to throw a pass at this, and it's a safe pass. And, boy, I tell you what, this is a new set of downs for
us. We got 4 minutes left in this game, and there's no telling what could happen. But, golly, I can't remember feeling this good about how we played throughout the game against a tough opponent in some time. Three wide to the right side, one to the left side. McKinley will keep. McKinley drug down at a 20-yard line. They got him by the right shoulder and brought him down. It'll be second down, and now Hickory will have to take a timeout. So that will be their second. There will be one left here with 3:32 left to go in this game. Pisgah has a 9-point lead and the football on the edge of the single stop red zone. Back in just a moment. WPTL, the voice of the Black Bears.
Haywood EMC is proud to support Pisgah Bears sports. Your local Touchstone Energy Cooperative has grown with a single commitment of affordable, reliable, and safe electrical services. In addition, they can provide you with energy conservation assistance, security lighting, backup generators, and whole house surge protection for your home or business to make life better for you, the member. Haywood EMC, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative. To Pisgah Black Bear football here on AM 920 WPTL.
Chad up, Chuck Fiebernitz, Ron the Bird, Tim Hodges. 3:32 left to go in the football game. The Black Bears have a 9-point lead here, and the football, second and 12. Hickory with one timeout remaining. The clock is not on the side of the Hickory football team right now, and neither is the score.
Marsha Rice is listening from Beaver Dam. She wishes she could be here listening. You know, she's listening and cheering for her Black Bears. Love my Pisgah Black Bears. Some football.
Play action throws over the middle. It's caught. He scores! And that'll do it. No, they're going to mark him right at the goal line. But Jesse Anderson makes the catch, and that might bode well as it takes off more time when we score right here. But Jesse Anderson, in one-on-one coverage, beat his man to the middle of the field, made the catch, and just on the outside of the goal line. Huge play right there.
You pin your ears back and play that run and jam in that box, and then you play soft on the corners. You're just asking for trouble, and that was just a safe pass pattern. I thought he went in, but, you know, I mean, Anderson hauled it in, just got brought down right at the inch line.
First and goal from the one-inch line. Here's a snap. Quarterback sneak. He is in safely. Touchdown, Big Black, and it's McKinley Brown that gets it done. And the goal horn once again goes off. 3:02 left to go in this football game. And we just about closed this deal out now, Chuck. 29-14. Pisgah was down 14-0, and they've scored,
yes,
and we're going to score, it looks like, 30 unanswered points tonight.
Absolutely, and that's just beautiful. Bill Pisgah, class of 99 from Waynesville, but enjoying his Black Bears tonight from Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Wow, I was over there last weekend.
Snowpup says, go Bears from Sheepback Stonewall.
Pisgah's going to go for it and gets the two-point conversion. They run it in. So now with 3:02 left to go in the football game, we'll keep it right here. The Black Bears have blown this deal open, 31-14. Boy, I tell you what, now we're talking 31 unanswered points. The blocked punt will go back to again there in the first half. We got that blocked punt, and that changed the entire complexion of this football game. We look across the sideline at a Hickory team that probably felt pretty good about coming in here and winning. They're not going to do it. Now, the only point of concern right now, as I look at the five-yard line, is a Black Bear down on the turf. Not sure who that is. Chuck will check it with his glasses and see if he can pick out who we're talking about there as Coach Chappell walks out there. So we do have an injured Black Bear on the field, and we'll try to get an idea of what we're talking about as quickly as we can. Certainly not a good time to sustain injuries.
Because they're not working on the joints, they're not working on a knee or an ankle.
It was not McKinley, as he'll go out there.
It might be Martinez. I think it might have been Martinez, because McKinley's going out to check on
him. Right. The good news, if there is any, it doesn't look like it's a lower body concern, like a knee or an ankle or something like that. They're not looking at that, and I think you might be right. It might be as simple as having the wind knocked out of him. That's a scary situation. I've had that happen to me before. You just can't get your breath, and you don't know what you're going to do. You kind of start panicking and everything like that.
When McKinley faked the ball to Martinez, and that's who it is, it's Jesse Martinez, the sophomore, and he's kind of getting up.
Yeah, but he looks like he's physically, joint-wise, in pretty good shape. So he's slow to get up, but Martinez will come back to the sideline, and I think we'll have him ready to go next Friday night.
He got hit in that special place?
The midsection.
Midsection.
From pro wrestling.
Yeah, okay.
Shot to the midsection.
And
shot to the midsection. Yeah, that was the good old days. That was wrestling on Saturday mornings in the Rock and Roll Express. You didn't know much about that. You were in Michigan.
Go Big Black Bears, number 49 from Chester, Virginia. Aunt Kathy Ann.
You got to understand, Chuck's vision with glasses is
but
a good 2070.
Look, I got my screen fixed.
You did? Did you get a new phone?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
No, I got my screen
fixed. Looks good. How much did that cost us?
$93.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Cheapers. Still, it's better than the alternative.
What I had.
Higdon's kick fielded by an up man. He'll try to make a run for it, and he'll go down at the 46-yard line. But Pisgah has a 31-14 lead here in this football game now with 2:58 remaining. And when you deduct and look at those points right there, you're talking about a 17-point lead. So it's a three-score game at this point, so you got to feel good about you where you stand. So it looks like that we'll see High Brighton next week here in Canton. Got to go to work tomorrow morning first thing with looking at everything that we've got to look at and start preparing. And I know Coach Chappell, knowing him the way I know him, he'll start working on it tonight. Hickory, play action, wants to roll to the left side, wants to try to throw it. That quarterback has been relatively elusive tonight, though we've hemmed him up really well for most of the night. Scrambles for about 3.5 yards. It'll be second down at about the 49-yard line. 2:43 left.
Just keeps the clock rolling.
Piedmont, final score, has beaten Tuscola. 31-17. The Mountaineers have been eliminated from the tournament. Their season is over. Two wide to the left, three wide to the right side. Back to pass. Steps up in the pocket. Can't get rid of it. Goes down. No flags come in. That could have been intentional grounding. Just barely got rid of it. It'll be a third down either way. Pisgah has done a terrific job at hemming up their great players. Final score in the shootout. I've got to tell you, the first time this year the Carolina Hurricanes have won a shootout game. 3-2. They beat the Ducks, and I'm excited about that. It's a good night for Chad. Another 2 points in the standings for the Canes that have been playing good hockey the last week and a half. Haven't lost in a week and a half.
Ted, you sure you weren't?
I'm just telling you.
Michigan.
Hockey's a great sport, brother.
Ooh.
Here's a snap, and he gives straight ahead. He got a yard. It's fourth down at the 50-yard line.
They don't want to throw it. And this was the great thing is that they just got, when they got ahead, Hickory had no sense of urgency. Their Dobbers were down. They did not believe that they could withstand. Once they went up 14-0, they thought this was a team. I thought, oh, goodness
right.
gracious.
Right.
But also when Pisgah started making a back, you know, comeback and started pounding on the running back
right.
and pounding on the quarterback and relentlessly, then that's when they took over the game, and Hickory just said, we don't have an answer.
They're going to throw over the middle. It's picked off by a big lineman downfield. 50, 45, 40. Picked off there in the middle of the field.
Holt Underwood.
Are you sure? I thought
they. Holt Underwood coming off the field. He got a pick.
All right, we'll take it. Pisgah with the football back. 1:36, and that's going to do it, Chuck. The Black Bears will advance to the second round of the tournament as they beat Hickory High School here tonight. Holt Underwood with that interception.
Well, and it was a zone blitz. I mean, Ricky Brindley, where are you getting this stuff? I mean, he had Holt at defensive end and back in coverage, and he brought the boundary blitz, and then Crawford just threw it right to Holt Underwood. To the short side of the field. I mean, that was great defensive call by Ricky Brindley. He just dialed up that exotic zone blitz.
Right. So now that we've got a chance to maybe settle down, I guess, a little bit and think about what's happened here tonight, can you recall off the top of your head a bigger and more, what's the word I'm looking for, finishing sort of momentum shift? Going from a situation where it looked like we were going to go down 21-0 right there, and we were all thinking about, golly, how are we going to find a way to get back into this game? And then completely dominate it from the rest of the way. Completely. 32 unanswered points. Hickory was unable to do really anything of any significance at all in terms of their offense. I mean, that to me is the thing that is the most that I take away from this game. We do have a player down on the turf, and I believe it's one of our players. Get back up a little bit slow, and again, that was Lucas Hall. So he's okay. But again, can you remember that type of sustained momentum shift that was just completely from going one end of the spectrum to the opposite end of the spectrum, going from ultraviolet to infrared that quick. You know what I'm saying? And then keeping that way.
Yeah. No, this was big. This was resilient. This was resiliency that they refused to let this game get out of hand, although it got ugly at first, and then all of a sudden they just stayed composed. They just said, look, we're going to go play our game, and they just started pounding.
Let me ask you this. Through one and a half, how would you say we were in terms, if I said how much better is Hickory than we are, maybe fairly significantly at that time. And now you're looking now at the end of the game with the final score here with just a few ticks left on the clock. How much better were we than Hickory? I mean, we were being sort of possessed by their elusiveness and speed, and we banged and beat on them a little bit, got a little bit of momentum shift. And to me, maybe that emotional thing was bigger than anything else. And again, I'll go back to what I was saying for the last month. Is that we played with desperation after that blocked punt, and it completely changed the outcome of this game.
Yeah, we got the sense of urgency, but this game's played by tough kids. You got to be tough to play this game. And, you know, we found that even though there's great speed and a lot of talent on Hickory's team, they just weren't tough to handle the physical nature of this football game. And Pisgah was willing to pay that price and go. I mean, it was the defense that stood up and got them back into the football game by pounding them and not letting them move the chains. As McKinley Brown just took the final kneel down, and the clock's winding down 5-4-3, and then this game's over with, Chet.
Well, and the other thing that you got to think about, you know, you've been through your share of adversity through this season. You saw some adversity out here tonight, and we persevered. You know you're going to go against a very good High Brighton team next week. But if anybody that wears red and black comes to the stadium next week thinking that there's no way we can win, I don't think they've been watching these games, because I feel really good about our chances to
High
come out
Brighton,
here and get a second-round win tomorrow.
High Brighton at home, or High Brighton defeated Hickory 33-35.
Right.
35-33.
Right.
Look.
Right, I hear you.
Okay?
I'm feeling you.
They're coming to the house.
They're coming
to the big house.
Yep. So we'll finish up here with our game call. When we return, we'll get some stats for you. Tim will get you caught up on all the scores of significance from around the area as well. Still a whole lot to talk about as we finish up tonight. The Black Bears, 31 unanswered points beginning in the second quarter. Blow out Hickory, really, as we head down the stretch in this game, winning it 31-14. Back in a moment, WPTL, the voice of the Black Bears.
Carolina. Chip. Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it. Carolina Pawn and Gun. They got guns and tools and diamond rings, guitars and electronic bass. Now if you need some cash, there ain't no doubt. Uncle Sam ain't gonna bail you out. Come see the folks at Carolina Pawn and Gun. They gonna hook you up. Get on over there, son. Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it. Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Jukebox Junction, backing the Bears. Jukebox Junction Restaurant and Soda Shop is open for breakfast from 7 a.m. From hearty morning fare through lunch and dinner, including daily specials, the Jukebox will feed your family well. Jukebox handles your sweet tooth with ice cream, sundaes, sodas, and shakes. Call to reserve their private room for up to 40. Jukebox Junction, Highway 276 at Bethel Red Light. Also open Sunday from 8:30 till 3.
I'm Rachel, member of Champion Credit Union. I want to be part of a credit union that serves its community. A credit union that in just 1 year gave over $100,000 to schools, youth programs, and other community projects. Someday, my daughters may be student athletes, and I can say that my credit union helps them succeed.
I'm Jake Robinson, project manager with Champion Credit Union. We let our members tell our story because our members are who we are.
Federally insured by NCUA.
Ken Wilson Ford has been doing business locally for over 31 years, and they've earned Ford Motor Company's highest honor, the President's Award. Ken Wilson Ford wants to thank all customers for their loyal business and look forward to many more years to come. Customer satisfaction is the goal. Ken Wilson believes in treating people right. The professional staff offers best selection and deals every day without any additional dock fees and processing fees. Ken Wilson Ford in Canton, your number one source in Western North Carolina.
AM 920 is WPTL Canton.
Let's get back to the game with Chad Upton and Chuck Fiebernets on WPTL.
Once again, our big black sponsor tonight is always Carolina Pawn and Gun, also sponsored by Fat Buddy's Ribs and Barbecue, Ken Wilson Ford, WNC Community Credit Union, Haywood EMC, Burger King, and Jim Bromley with Edward Jones. Make sure you kick off every football Friday, including next football Friday, with the Black Bear Cafe preview show from 6:30 to 7, sponsored exclusively by the Black Bear Cafe and Ice Cream Shop on Pisgah Drive. And tomorrow morning, join me and Coach Chappell for the Brett Chappell Show. Football talk about tonight's game, looking ahead to next week as well. A home game, second round of the playoffs right here at the stadium. Brought to you by Carolina Pawn and Gun, Hometown Hardware, Plus Linen and Uniform Service, Haywood Insurance Services, Southeastern Sports Medicine as well. Make sure you join us or listen live on WPTL Radio or WPTLRadio.net. Of course, you can also use your TuneIn Radio app with your smart device as well for that. Pisgah tonight, a big win, 31-14 over Hickory. 31 unanswered points going away. Pisgah beat a very, very good football team from a very, very good conference. And you got to feel like that there's a lot of hope as we go forward. Going to play a team next week that beat Hickory by 2 points out of this conference, probably a similar style in a lot of ways. They've got to come to Canton. Who knows what the weather will be like next week for that one. But as you go and you think and look ahead, there, like I said before, there's got to be every reason in the world to be very hopeful for the continuation and for their season right now as we look down the road in this tournament.
I hope that it's a jam-packed Tuscola County Clash, Tuscola Pisgah type crowd at that game next week, because these kids, the farther they go, they're going to need that.
Yeah.
They are going to need that in the second round, because what's coming into Canton are the High Brighton Panthers. They are a good football team. We've seen them before.
Yeah, boy, not long ago.
Not long ago when they were in the 2AA also, but they've moved up to 3A just like we have. And Pisgah is going to need a huge crowd. And, the thing that I get out of this is the way this defense has played all season long.
Yeah.
When the backs were up against the wall, there was no quit. And I love that about kids, because in football, there's no perfection. You strive for perfection. And, the line that Nick Saban said is that, he's always striving for perfection. That's the thing that drives him. And, these kids, you just don't play a perfect game, but they don't quit. And so when their backs were up against the wall, 14-0, in other cases where I've seen teams, wave the white flag of surrender and say, that's it, we're not going to win this game, they just came back and said, all right, we're going to pound you.
Right, right.
And we're going to find it. We can't match your speed, but when we get you, we're going to make you pay the price.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's a big thing. That, to me, was the turnaround of this football game, was Pisgah's ability to pound the body unmercifully out there and relentlessly, and they broke the will of the Hickory offense.
And that, we've talked about this before, particularly in the preseason. There are things that you can control, and there's things that you can't control in terms of who you are. One of the things that you can control is that emotion and the way you go out there and play the game, being where you're supposed to be, and how physical you are, asserting yourself against the other team. And tonight, we certainly and clearly asserted ourselves against the other team, and it paid off as we headed down the stretch. And I can't tell you how excited I am for the opportunities that we've got right now. I think this is a huge win for this program, particularly for Brett Chappell in his first year at Pisgah.
I agree. And, Chappell moves to 9-7 in the playoffs in his brief, short, career as a head coach. But, he with the loss that's granted by the forfeit, they are now, they move to 10-1 for the playoffs. But, 10-1 for the playoffs and 10-2 overall.
Right.
And, what a great way to start, the first year of Brett Chappell.
First year 10-win season, at least.
And we said during the break, I thought in this game, two significant people were, they stood out. Look, Colton Shuler and Dylan Hannah just had outstanding games at linebacker. Let's not forget the defensive line of Underwood, Cheryl Rathbone, Jacob Boyd, Kyle Terrell, and Holty Underwood. Let's not forget about them. Our secondary, they just
didn't get tested as much.
No. But Vodrey Crouch and Coach Brett Chappell were the two people that stood out. Chappell's keeping his team and also Nathan Higdon in the game after, you know.
Right. Two. And then making a big field goal
calling him out there and having a word to say before
which
he sent him
made
out there.
It, which made it a two-score game. It was a huge field goal at the moment.
The psychology of Chapel, but yet the halftime adjustments he made, you can see it was a clear difference, and they just took it to Hickory. And Vodrey just, on both sides of the football, but defense particular, it just stood out ahead and shoulders of everybody. He came to play. He carried the momentum. He got his team back in the game, making play after play after play. And I'm telling you, those two stand out to me as the stars of the game.
Is there a win, perhaps besides the Tuscola win, that's more beneficial and impactful for this team right now? I would argue that perhaps that this win is the best win of the season so far.
Because you never know when this season's going to end, you do know that the maximum you can play is 5 games. And you survived and get to play another Friday night. This is a huge win. And this win right here, which nobody in the mountains and nobody particularly down the mountain gave us a chance to play this because they talked about the great speed of Hickory. But you know what? You can have all the speed you want, but if you're not a tough kid.
If you can't get beyond the line of scrimmage, it doesn't matter.
And you're going to get pounded, and all of a sudden you get hit hard one time, and you start to back off and think, oh, I'm not going to run in the side there. I'm not going to get the tough
yards.
Right. Then, you know, toughness wins football games. Toughness won this football game, and I think you're right, Chad. I think this is equal to the Tuscola win. Next Friday, if he gets that win, that may be the biggest win.
There isn't anything more impactful for any human than to be told something, then go out and do it and see that the person that told you that that would be the result ended up absolutely the result. What I'm saying to you is that I'm sure that Coach Chapel and the coaches preach to those kids all week long. Yes, they're good athletes, but if you'll hit them and you'll hit them hard, you will slow them down and they will quit. And that's exactly what happened tonight. Now, you carry that into next week. Now they've seen it in action. I will tell you right now that I have no reason to believe that we won't go in to that game tomorrow night with that same idea. Now with even more determination, knowing that that's going to be the case, and do the exact same thing to that High Brighton team next week in terms of pounding away on those kids that like to run.
I agree with you, Chad. And it just, you take away the first two possessions, and, you know, I'm looking over these stats right now, and we're talking about this, is that they got 4 first downs. They got, in the first half, Hickory got 6 first downs, but 5 of them came in the first 2 drives. Then they got 1 the rest of the first half. And then they got 4 first downs. 3 of them came on that last drive there before Vodrey came up and got that big first down sack on the backside blitz from the boundary. They played a good football game. Holtie Underwood gets a pick. You know, at the late, you know, I mean, these are things, the memories.
Right. It's true.
You know, this is stuff that, you know, you look back and go, I was there. I watched these kids. This is a significant thing that what they did in this game. But, you know, we're going back and we're almost dissecting these games. But you know what? Every kid out there wearing a Pisgah jersey had a hand in this game.
Yeah.
They had a hand in this win.
No doubt about it.
And, you know, I Nathan Higdon, you know, he looked bad on 2 PATs. He comes back and he looks good on
Killed
the field goal.
It, yeah.
A critical field
Absolutely.
That you mentioned. Offensively, McKinley, you know, they were playing man coverage. Our kids weren't used to being manned up. But you know what? Guess what they'll work on this week? They'll work on being covered by man.
Certainly live to fight. Absolutely. Certainly live to fight another day. Listen, some big scores from all around, particularly in this 3A bracket. And I know that Tim's been monitoring that. Tim, I know you've got some big scores, including those scores from the 3A division in that portion of the bracket. Who are we going to be playing next week, buddy?
Okay, it's High Brighton for sure there, Chad. And let's run you through some of the scores from around the mountains, and we'll take a look at some of the other scores as well coming in tonight. It is Irwin 28, Ashbrook 21. This in 3AA action. We're not sure if that's a final or not. Asheville over Cuthbertson 27-7. Reynolds 58 over Sun Valley 14. Reynolds 58, Sun Valley 14. In 4A action, it's North Davidson 63, Roberson 27. And the final out of Waynesville, Piedmont defeated Tuscola tonight, 31-17. Your Black Bears over Hickory, 31-14. Franklin was leading Parkwood when last we checked, 17-14. The Smoky Mountain Forest Hills game was forfeited tonight. It was Polk 45, Madison 13, this in 2A action. Hendersonville 7, Reedsville 50, Brevard 28, North Wilkes 14, Shelby 58, Mountain Heritage 8, and a final, Owen 13, Mount Pleasant 0. In 1AA action tonight, Swain 42, East Wilkes 13. A final, Avery 36, Bessemer City 21. Mitchell, let's try that again. Starmount 42, Mitchell 7. That in as a final as well. It's Murphy 35, Rosman 6, last we heard. Andrews leading Thomas Jefferson 34-15. We did not get a score from Hayesville and Robbinsville tonight, so I'm not sure what went on there. And some 3A West scores of interest. It was Morganton Freeman 33, East Rowan 13 tonight. When last we checked, China Grove Carson 42, Forest View 35. That was close to being a final. Again, High Britain 41, Morganton Patton 0. That a final. It was South Point 28, West Rowan 7, that one a final too. And Burns defeated North Gaston tonight, 35-18, that one a final as well. We'll take you back out to Chad and Chuck in just a moment.
American Pawn and Pickers, and we do the picking, go to the grinning. Buying, selling, trading, and loaning money too. You can bring it to us or we will come to you. Antiques, guns, and guitars, and diamond rings. We will loan you money or about buy most anything. American Pawn and Pickers, when we do the picking. Go to the grinning, 1116 Patton Avenue. Y'all come see us now, you hear?
How about them black bars? Fat Buddy's Ribs and Barbecue, proud of our team. To win in this game, it takes speed, strength, and the right game plan. For winning barbecue, it takes slow cooking, the right sauces, and attention to detail. Whether for the game, a to-go box, or to get together later on, come to Fat Buddy's Ribs and Barbecue, Waynesville Plaza, where the food's so good it'll make you squoil.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Call 648-2632 for Patton, Morgan, and Clark Insurance Agency.
Martin's Drugstore backs the Bears. They're home folks, too, with good old-fashioned friendly service. Martin's participates in most Medicare Part D drug plans. Sam Burris will be glad to assist you. In a rush? Use the drive-up window to drop off and pick up your medications later. Martin's, 24 Park Street, downtown Canton. Check the dollar wall inside at Martin's, pharmaceutical care for 100 years. Now, WPTL's coverage of Black Bear football continues.
Back live at the stadium, final time tonight. Black Bears a winner, 31-14. Final score as they take care of Hickory, scoring 31 unanswered points beginning in that second quarter, then finishing the kneel. Huge win tonight for Pisgah as they move on to the second round. And as Tim lets you know, we'll take on High Brighton next week right here at the stadium. High Brighton, a team that won by 2 points over Hickory. So you got to feel good about our chances. Chuck, you just got an interesting score.
Yeah, number 16 seed took down a number 1 seed.
Bad.
Parkwood, 35. Franklin, 17. T.C. Geyer and Lucas Clark sent this from Southside Discount. They heard it. It is a final. A number 16 seed takes down a number 1 seed. Franklin goes down.
I never remember hearing that in high school football.
I don't ever remember.
That's like the NCAA tournament. That just doesn't happen. Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Wow, that's a big, big deal. I mean, you go. That's the thing, though, in the tournament. You go all season long, you know, and then and just in an instant, it's dashed away from you.
Yep, you got to be ready.
4 months of work. Actually, you know what? You go for further than that because you start looking all the way back to youth league. This group, when they're seniors, could do this and that and the other thing. And then in an instant, it's over. I mean, it's just, I guess that's life, but that's a tough way to go. Looks like Franklin lost their game tonight, but you can keep up with all those scores. I will have scores from around the 3A in particular and from around the area tomorrow morning on our Brett Chappell show again as well, and we'll be able to share those and look forward to getting everybody together for that. Again, 8 a.m. is the Brett Chappell show tomorrow morning from the Jukebox Junction, 6:30 will be our airtime here from the stadium. We'll have the broadcast for you, the Black Bear Cafe, there at 6:30, 7:30 kickoff. If you can be at the stadium, please be here. These kids need you out here right now for this. This is a big deal, and you certainly don't want to miss the memories. Bring your little radios along with you and listen to us. If you can't do that, certainly be here to join Chuck and I for the broadcast along with Tim and Rhonda. We'll be looking forward to it, Chuck.
Well, come on, folks. If you come to the game, bring your little transistor radios, right, if they have them these days. Plug yourself in, listen to the broadcast, support the kids. If not, we'll, you know, we thank you for tuning in to WPTL AM 920 and listening to Chad, which I thought, Chad, you were on your A-plus game today.
Thank you. Certainly appreciate it. Had a lot of fun with it. Final score again, 31-14. Pisgah goes to the second round. For Rhonda Bird, Tim Hodges, and Chuck Fiebernitz, this is Chad Upton. Until tomorrow morning, so long, everybody.